last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Mike.
I guess I'm just chopped liver. Answer the phone, Don and Mike Show. It means that, hi, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Never mind. Goodbye. Thank you. Don and Mike Show.
Don.
And Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Yes, right.
Hey, you know what you guys talk about?
No, you didn't say hi to me right away.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah, see you later. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you couple third splitters.
There we go.
Thank you. That's all we ask for is equal billing. Equal billing.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beat.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live 4 hours every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Paris.
That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I can think of nowhere. This is at this point of the show that I get to introduce to you, not Puff Daddy. Not Big Daddy.
No.
Sperm Daddy.
There he is.
Bill Hogsby.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Welcome back, Orso. And you know, it was a busy weekend for Phil.
Why?
He stayed up for 65 straight hours on the Jim Nance suicide watch. Thank God. Jim's okay. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Malcolm Jamel Warner and all the ships at sea. Hey, you loved him last night on ABC's The Growing Pains movie. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Brien.
All right, okay. Thanks for explaining that one to me.
No problem. It was a good one.
Explain it to me. I don't get it.
I know you don't. Shut up. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Coast to coast today. Nationwide. Don and Mike Show coming to you via the auspices of Westwood One on Monday, November 6th. Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636. One day until the day, and what can I say?
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world.
World of Bush.
Won't you come on in?
World of Gore.
Yes.
World of Gavin.
Yeah, I'm not feeling real,
crazy, silly, optimistic right now. Well, you're not too feel as you perky, Mike?
No, I'm not, Doc.
Step into my heart.
Sure like to see things go my way.
Step into our heart.
Leave your cares behind.
I've got some last-minute thoughts that may surprise you.
Welcome to our world.
And, of course, as always, built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
With you in mind. Hello, and welcome to the show. Back from New York, back in the crappy surroundings of WJFK in suburban Washington, D.C.
Yes, from the city to the burbs, yeah. Here we are.
Well, yeah. We are. Listen, I don't know where to start today. I've got weekend stuff to tell you about.
Good.
I want to make a political statement here in a couple of seconds.
Good.
I want to gloat about the fact that I won my bet with Charlie Stossel.
A juggernaut.
You did.
The very real possibility that you will be undefeated this season.
Yeah.
That you will be the Miami Dolphins of our fantasy football league.
Oh, yeah. And that, too. Mm-hmm. Right. My fantasy team won again, 10-0.
Right.
Yes. Won the division.
Incredible.
We got some wacky stories from the newspaper. But you know what? I think, really, I should start with this whole political thing.
I think it's good.
Okay. You know that I've bet Mike on Bush.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all summer. We've been talking about it into the fall, the big bet that the outcome of the presidential election, if Bush wins, you will watch me take Tom Gavin to a fancy...
Oh, no, I will not watch. I will simply listen to the tape.
You will listen to the tape, but I will march over to the fancy restaurant with Tom Gavin on this Friday.
Yes, Friday. And no matter which one of us wins or loses... It's Friday is when the lunch happens, and you'll hear all of the entire 30-minute lunch on Friday's episode.
Thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me that it's 30 minutes. I haven't given up the ghost yet. I still believe that Al Gore can win. I think most people. It's very close. I mean, the polls are very close.
Anything can happen.
I think Bush is going to win, but I have to be honest with you, because I am going to go vote tomorrow.
Yes, that's good. You're doing your civic duty.
And after a weekend of really contemplating everything,
yes.
And a lot of you people are going to call me a pussy, and I don't care. Listen, I'm going to vote for Gore.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, it's the
very
whole
good.
Thing with being the lifelong Democrat. And
yeah, you have been, yes.
The Republicans were nice. They gave me all kinds of souvenirs, and they gave me nice buttons, and I will continue.
Fuckers.
I will
And now you've pulled the wool over them. You've pulled the rug out from under them, and I salute you for that.
No, but listen,
we Democrats, welcome back, Don.
But listen, no, I haven't, because
now it's just a bet, right?
Yes, I'm still rooting for Bush to win.
Sure. But your own personal convictions will make you pull the lever for Gore.
This is how little I think my own personal vote has to do with anything.
Well, in this particular state, you're absolutely
especially
right about
Virginia,
that.
Especially in Virginia, it doesn't mean Dick.
Yeah, but it does mean Dick in the Senate race. So, I mean, you are, you know, it means Dick in a lot of different areas of the country.
But anyway, you know, I mean, I sat down and I thought all the issues, all the boring issues that I don't want to pay attention to, all I wanted to pay attention to all along is the fact that Lieberman wants to shut down shock radio. Lieberman wants to take TNA off TV. Lieberman wants to screw Hollywood.
Yeah, but your wife must be very happy about this, because I know your wife is...
She does not know yet.
She doesn't know.
Wow.
So could she be listening right now and hearing this?
Not a chance. I'm sure she's making love to our brand new refrigerator. She spent most of the weekend, and, you know, I got a boatload of crap.
Right.
We got back from New York this weekend, and I walked into the house, and she said, well, there it is. And I said, that's nice.
Right.
I mean, it's a refrigerator. And I walked by, and she said, oh, well, thanks a lot. Like, it's a personal affront to my wife. I said, what? She said, I get excited about the things you're excited about. Why can't you get excited about this refrigerator?
Crawl inside it and make love.
So I opened it up, and I said, nice. I like the other one fine, though.
Does it have the ice maker on the outside?
Nope.
No?
Sure doesn't.
Wow.
No.
Is it in any way, like, ice-friendly? Can you do anything, or do you have to reach in there and scoop out the ice?
Yeah, and I mean, the freezer part of it is a giant drawer underneath the actual refrigerator part that you open
not
up.
Not good. Not good.
Bend over.
It's got a drawer on the bottom where you have to bend over and get your stuff.
Like a big basket where you just throw everything in there.
Well, no, it's got a couple of levels in there.
Not
I mean,
good.
It's, you know, it's a nice refrigerator, but I couldn't feel the same level of excitement as she did, especially when I looked in the garage and I saw the two, not the one, but the two perfect refrigerators that we now have sitting in the garage.
Two full-sizers?
Yeah.
You're not even a beer drinker.
No.
So, I mean, it doesn't mean that much to you, I guess.
No, we've got the one out there because she went through a phase where we just had to have another refrigerator in the garage.
Right.
You know why? I don't know, but we had to have the refrigerator in the garage.
Well, I also have a refrigerator in the garage. It's essential to have the refrigerator in the garage and also upstairs and downstairs.
But now the refrigerator in their garage, the old one, is sitting right next to the other refrigerator. And I said to her, you know, I certainly know that these are just objects, inanimate objects that don't have any feelings. I said, but don't you feel bad for the old refrigerator?
There's a poor old refrigerator sitting out in the garage.
You know, the old refrigerator never did anything wrong to us. The old refrigerator was always there.
It was loyal.
With the ice, both cubed and chopped.
Trusted.
With the cold water, with a nice little door built into the front of it so you could...
Super fancy.
Yeah, you could reach in and get a soda out without actually opening up the actual refrigerator door.
That sounded like a killer refrigerator.
And now it's just in our garage.
How does the new one look? Does it look better in the kitchen?
You know, I don't know. She's happy because it's like the one they have on Will and Grace.
Well, there you go.
Now, is it stainless steel in the
front?
So it's a nice shiny look, kind
of. Yeah, but the problem is, now that she's got this, now that she's happy about this,
right?
Now suddenly, all of the other appliances that we have are not good anymore.
So you're going to, you go from the refrigerator to the stove.
No, we're not going to, but that's what she's talking about.
You know, I think any homeowner would agree, you know, you could spend a gazillion dollars on your house. I mean, once you get started, you can always, there's always something greener on the other side.
And the problem is, and I don't know how many of you guys can relate to this, because I think Frida's a unique case study in womanhood and wifehood. She is happiest when she has a project,
right?
Okay, so for a couple of weeks, the project was getting this refrigerator, running it by me,
right?
Getting it, ordering it, have them deliver it. And then once the rush of that wore off,
the letdown,
once you just realized that really it's an ice box, like they used to say on Andy of Mayberry.
In the ice box?
It's a fancy one, but it's just an ice box. And then when she realized that I was not going to let her just carte blanche get rid of our stove and our oven and our sinks,
right,
just because they're not fancy enough, I wake up this morning, I ask you not, I wake up this morning and there's a guy in our house.
A man?
A
workman?
And the guy in our house, a wonderful guy named Kurt, who's done work in our house before, he's cutting a hole in my wall, in my closet. And I said, "Hi, Kurt, what's going on?" And he says, "I'm here cutting a hole in your wall." And I said, "Great, why?"
Real reason, huh?
He said, no, Frida's got a grand plan.
Right.
That, since Bart has moved his bedroom down to the basement, now what she's doing is she's just having this guy cutting a hole in the wall, so now you're going to go from our closet directly into what used to be Bart's bedroom.
Oh, she's going to have a new room.
Yes, we're going to have a sitting room.
A big sitting room.
Yeah, and the problem with this is the problem when you have a woman who lives for these projects, because eventually, at some point, I'm going to do what I should do as a man, and I'm going to say, enough is enough.
Right.
Okay? I want you to be fulfilled. I want you to be happy. But every time you go on one of these projects, we go bankrupt. And this is the project now. And I think the hole in the wall is simply a diversion, because I wouldn't let her buy the new stove and the new range and the new sink.
How does this affect the property value? I'm thinking,
well, this is like, the other thing that she keeps on. Oh, this is going to increase the property value.
Well, I mean, if you call it a sitting room, isn't it now part of your bedroom?
Yeah.
It's one fewer bedroom.
That's what I would think.
I guess so. All I know is that, I woke up this morning, and like I said, a real nice guy, Kurt, is up there. Hey, good morning. Just digging it, and with his big saw, just cutting.
Is she going to put a door on it?
No door.
Oh.
It's just going to be just a hole in the wall where you can just, they're going to even it up and they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're going to put, like, the molding around it.
Framing around it,
You put a frame, but if there's no door, then it's effectively, you're eliminating a bedroom.
Yes, well, no, what we're doing is getting closer to Frida's dream, which is eventually, even though she and I sleep in the same bed.
Right.
Other than that, we'll have no actual contact. She will have her own closet area. She will have her own bathroom area.
Sure.
That's the goal in all of it.
And she will be on that side of the place, and that'll be it.
Yeah. I get the old closet.
Right.
And she will get the new closet, which used to be a bedroom.
How do you feel about that idea?
It's a whirlwind.
Yes,
and it's
too early to say.
I don't like change to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
frankly, I'm emotionally attached to the old refrigerator still.
Right.
And I felt bad today for whatever reason, and as I was watching this guy, and an able workman, but I was as I was watching him cut a hole in the wall.
You could actually count in minutes, couldn't you, the time that Bart has moved out from the time she cut into the...
3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
That's pretty significant.
3 days he moved out of his bedroom. We moved him downstairs to the basement. In 3 days, she's already got a guy in there cutting a hole in the wall, stripping the wallpaper.
And it's going to be her little area in there?
Yeah, it's going to be her room. Her separate room. So anyway, hi, everybody.
Happy weekend.
Welcome to my world.
And now, but through all of this... somehow you have reevaluated your personal political stance on the Bush-Gore. You know, I've known you for a long time. We've had discussions off air, really very few discussions on. I tell people this is kind of an apolitical show, which it is. I mean, it's not what we do.
Right.
But I've had enough personal conversations with you, you know, briefly, that I've always known you kind of to support the Democratic ticket in most cases.
Yeah.
So what was your thought process?
The thought
process...
You
put yourself in a position now, I will tell you, that now you win both ways.
Well,
so it's an unenviable...
He's a winner.
You've actually, you know, from the reality...
I had not thought of it like that, but I guess you're right.
It's a win-win. I mean, you know, Gore wins, he's the guy you voted for. Bush wins, he's the guy you thought would win.
No. To me, it's really odd, because really, this I do think, and I've thought this all along, no matter which one of these schmucks is president...
Yes.
It ain't gonna matter, Dick, you know... My life's going to be the same. Your life is going to be the same.
I think I saw a poll that would say there are a lot of Americans that agree with you about that. That they think that no matter who wins, you know, that life goes on. And, you know, to a certain extent, who knows? You know, maybe they're
right. Maybe they're right.
but it's certainly interesting. And I think now a lot of people are paying attention in the last few days.
And it was certainly with no prompting from my wife, because she has just stayed out of this thing. I mean, even when I've come home from work today, I came home from work with all the Bush buttons, the personalized buttons that said I'm voting for Bush. And
there's going to be a guy that is so brokenhearted right now, and it's going to be that guy, that little nerd Nick, that came in here with all the Bush stuff for you.
I'm still publicly supporting Bush. I'm just telling you that I'm voting for Gore, and I would feel like a real heel,
right?
If I went in tomorrow and voted for Gore, and then came on the air and didn't tell you.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, I just have to tell you that I really thought about it, and all the crap, and I
never thought your heart was really in it anyway. I mean, it's not like you could get up there and, you know, give a real emotional speech for Bush.
Well, listen, I could.
Well, you could. You could fake it.
No. There's lots of things about Bush I like.
Well, that's where we part company.
I mean, listen, I'm not crazy about his gun stance,
right.
Okay? And I'm not crazy about his stance on the abortion.
Right.
But beyond that, you know, he doesn't rub me the wrong way.
You think he's a prettier man than Al Gore?
Oh, absolutely. 100% dreamy. But, you know, I really thought about it. I thought all of this talking and all of this posturing and the talk of changing parties, when I go in tomorrow... what am I really going to do? And then they're like, you know what? I'm a schmuck. I'm a Democrat like I've always been. I'm going to go in and I'm going to vote for Gore. But publicly, I am still endorsing George Bush. And I still think...
This is one of the all-time interesting decisions in American politics right now. You have publicly continued your endorsement of George Bush, yet publicly you are stating that you are going to vote for Al Gore.
Only because I'm being honest with you.
I
could have just had the charade going and kept endorsing Bush, because I do think he's going to win, and I do think I'm going to win our bet with Tom Gavin. But listen, I just got to be honest with you. I'm voting for him. I think a woman should get an abortion if she wants an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I do. That's really what it's all about. And I also think this guy Lieberman is a skunk, like I've told you all along. and if our show gets canceled because of Joe Lieberman,
right.
I'm going to hold you personally responsible.
I'll accept that. I don't believe that a Joe Lieberman or a Bill Bennett or any of these people can really do that to us. I don't think that can happen. I think there are checks and balances. And I also think that when it comes right down to it, when you're talking about censorship and you're talking about taking freedoms away, you're talking about constitutional change, and that type of thing really is affected by the Supreme Court. And when you look at it that way, I think that the guys that Gore would nominate would be more inclined to protect our freedoms than some of the other guys.
I don't know. I just know I think Lieberman's a prick.
I don't like him. F him, he can eat me raw with a flavor straw.
But you are going to vote for Gore.
Yes, I am.
Al Gore.
And then I'm going to pray that Al Gore is the... If he wins, they should just put him in a bulletproof suit. They should put a bucket on his head. He should never be allowed to leave the White House. Because I don't want Lieberman as president. Now, that does scare me.
You know, it will be... They're talking about this being the closest election in modern history.
Nah, Bush is going to win. No doubt.
Well, I see this poll. I came in, I read one newspaper with this poll.
Then
that's what I think. And then I look at this other poll, and it looks like it's getting closer. So now I feel better. Well, you know, when I walked in and I saw you, remember what I said to you? I said something like, you know, where's the restaurant that we're going to take, that I'm going to take Tom Gavin to?
Right.
And then I look in USA Today, I see another poll where it looks like things are getting closer now.
You don't just realize what you were right about?
What?
And this was, I swear to God, unintentional on my part.
Yeah, you put yourself in a win-win.
I have played it perfectly.
You have put yourself in...
I've played it absolutely perfectly.
You can come in tomorrow if Gore wins and say, hey, I don't care, I voted. I mean, you've taken everything away from me. I have no ability to but it won't matter. I'll still be extremely happy, you know, if Gore wins the thing, but I will not be. You've taken all the gloat potential. I will not be able to go because you look at me and go, I voted for him.
And you know what this means? This means that, I guess we won't know tomorrow, but on Wednesday's show,
right.
You know, if the Bushmeister wins,
right.
I, in good conscience, I really couldn't put on the Uncle Sam outfit and come in with Liddy and have...
That, to be honest with you...
Have the celebration show.
That would... Where do you stand on that? Because that, I swear to God, I'm not going to handle that well. I am not going to take that well. I'm not going to be nice. I'm not going to be sweet to Gordon about it.
I think if I vote for Bush, and even if...
I mean, if you
vote for Gore and Bush wins, I should just be happy that I won our bet. The Tom Gavin bed.
Okay.
I don't have to take Tom Gavin out to lunch.
So there will be minimal gloating on both our parts then?
Minimal gloating. I'm not going to say there'd be no gloating because you know me.
Well,
I can't help it.
I will also do that, you know, but I mean, it's not going to be the same, but I was already thinking in advance to Wednesday's show and how depressed I would be because you know how seriously I take it.
And see, I'm the opposite.
I know you're
really,
the opposite.
I mean, you know what it's like? It's like, in Entertainment Weekly magazine, where you get to pick your winner for the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's sad to say, that's what I think about this whole process. It's like, you know, really, I just got to be honest. I'd vote for Gore because I'm really behind more of his policies.
I think that it's going to be, it's still, you know, no matter who wins, it's going to go down to the wire. I do believe that there's a good chance we might come in on Wednesday and not know exactly where it stands. I think really that might happen.
No, we'll have it. By Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, we'll have it.
A lot of absentee ballots this time, and they say that could have an effect. So we'll see.
Let me call my CH.
She's going to love this.
And tell her what's going on.
She's going to be delighted that you have put yourself in a complete win-win.
Sweetie pie.
My sugar bear, I heard you talking about the changes at our house, and I want to tell you, I could put a door on that hole in the wall, but I was saving us money.
Okay, listen, I just want to know, did you hear my other big announcement?
Yeah, I'm thrilled, because I really have, you know, I've had not to think about your political leanings during our romantic moments. It's a big, big turnoff.
And you know, she has not influenced me. I swear to God, she's not influenced me. Frankly, we've not talked about it. She's been pissed at me, so we have not even discussed the election.
No, I've been in denial. I've been trying not to think of it. I would have a hard time growing old with you if you changed political parties.
I feel wonderful about it, too. I do. I feel wonderful about the fact that you can
I know you have a hard time having sex with him, too, if he's a Republican.
I know. It never affects our sex. Nothing.
Oh, good.
Nothing ever affects our sex. But the whole idea that you're going to, A, vote for Gore, and B, you're not going to, like, do the whole Uncle Sam, Liddy come in. I really had a problem with that. I really did. I would say something to Liddy that I might regret.
I just would be less than an honest person if I went and had voted for Gore. Well, I'm rooting for Bush.
I know.
You know, because I want to win our bet. And because I do think Bush is going to win.
That's the only one I can't get my arms around, that one.
And you know, I haven't said anything, but I did throw away the propaganda you brought him.
Oh, honey, now why'd you do that? Because that was great souvenir stuff.
Because you have souvenirs of everything. You have too many souvenirs. So unless you want to sell them on eBay, I don't want the souvenirs.
Oh, please.
I'll bring you a
button
tomorrow.
You make fun of my knickknacks. I've been doing nothing this whole week except cleaning out closets and throwing away. And then you have to go, and I left some things for our cleaning lady, and then you have to go and dig through them and pick out your old running suits.
Well, you're giving away good stuff that I still wear.
Who wears warm-up suits anymore? It's like 1980s.
I wear warm-up suits.
Didn't Buzz recently get you a warm-up suit?
Yes.
They're great for lounging.
No, that wasn't a warm-up suit. That was sweats and a sweatshirt, which is handy on the
You mean you're
workout.
Talking about the full-fledged Jim Elliot warm-up suit?
No. The plastic ones. You know, like the I got like a Green Bay Packers one.
Oh, running suits.
Hey. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
That's the stuff I like. And, you know, frankly, I'm worried, and I'm glad you're calling now, because I'm telling you right now, I think that you and I are heading close to a crash and burn situation, that you're on such a high from the refrigerator, and now you're on such a high from having Kurt cut a hole in the wall and doing all this stuff. I'm just wondering what happens when you realize that there is no more. That you can't do anything else, that you can't get the oven, you can't get the sink, you can't get the new range.
Will you be upset when you realize I can get the oven, I can get the sink,
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Why do you say that?
Because I still have a vote in this.
Morning, Will Robinson. Day's your day.
Honey, listen, don't you feel any loyalty at all towards that old refrigerator?
Our old refrigerator, we have two in the garage now, and I will admit it looks like a refrigerator sales room in our garage.
Yes.
One is going to Grandma's house. The old cheapo one is going to Grandma's. She needs it for when she has watermelon.
Hey, you know, I hate to commiserate with your wife on this, but, hey, Frida, what kind of range are you thinking about getting? I'm into that kind of cooking.
Hey, shut up.
I'm sorry.
We're not getting any rain.
A good dinner last night. I'm trying to cook better, too, to utilize a better
kitchen. A nice Viking.
We are not buying anything.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
We're not buying anything else.
Now you're getting me hot. I love
ridiculous.
I'm telling you. There's not a cooktop can make me
this is what it's come to. I've been married to this woman for 20 years, and this is what it's all about now. The new refrigerator.
I was in the bedroom stripping, you know, the wallpaper.
Wallpaper.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I thought there was something we missed over the weekend.
No. I was stripping, and I was just remarking how empty my life was because I was really getting a kick out of stripping.
Yeah, because, see, the thing is that I know how this is going to go, that you're on this real high right now because you've got the new stuff and you're going to be fixing up this room. But then, you know, 2 weeks from now, when you're done with all of this, when you realize that the gravy train has come to an end,
right.
That's when you're going to crash and burn.
No, but then there's Christmas coming.
Hey, listen, I told you, I'm not buying you an oven for Christmas.
That's what I want, though. I don't want other things. I buy you what you want. I don't want you to smoke cigars, but if you want cigars, I'll buy you cigars.
Maybe it's time for you to get yourself a nice present.
Hold on. When I ask for something I like cigars or my queer Packers warm-up suit or whatever it is I want, that's something I want for me. I get the feeling with you and the refrigerator and now everything else, it's not really for you, and it's not really for me, and it's not for the value of the house. It's, you know, for the other women on the street.
Well, Sugar Bear, look at it this way. You wear a fancy watch when a Timex will tell the time. Why do you need a nice watch?
You gave it to me as a gift.
Right, and you could give me a nice oven as a gift.
No, but listen, the watch, I use it every day. I look at it to see what the date is, what the time is, and I don't have other guys from down the street coming down, standing, admiring my watch, which incidentally I've been going through all week with the nonstop ringing of the doorbell on the weekend and all the other women coming down going, oh, and you know, they all say the same thing. They say, oh, when they walk in, they go, oh, my God, look at that refrigerator. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. And then they always follow it up with, oh, but now all of your other appliances look so bad. You know, it's a pisser.
You know, you just have different ways to show off. Yeah, you could be driving an old Hyundai or something. You don't.
Yes, and I'm driving a Cadillac.
Huh?
driving a Cadillac.
You drive a nice car because you like a nice car. Now, I like, you know, it's a nice refrigerator. It makes me happy. That seems pretty harmless.
Okay, except the price tag on that refrigerator was astronomical.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't spend money on other things. I'm not into designer clothes.
No. Don't even start lying there. Hold on a second. Hold on. You got every goddamn fashion magazine in the world in our bedroom.
I read the magazines, but wearing right this second? I'm wearing a Trojan condom sweatshirt,
honey,
that you brought home from work.
Honey, is it true or not?
Trojan man.
That's what I'm wearing.
See, here's the thing, though. God damn, she's lying about this. You really have gone out, especially recently, and you bought more fancy clothes. You have.
When we were in L.A., I bought a couple things, but hardly anything. I mean, just a couple pairs of shoes, I would like you to spend a week living with someone else. And Mike, why don't you chime in about Laura? I mean,
Why are you getting Laura into this? You guys are talking. Leave me out of this.
I know, or bring Ken Stevens' wife. Bring some other wives in here. I am a good wife. I hardly spend any money. Oh. I did go a little nutty on the refrigerator, but really, you know, it's not like crack cocaine. It seems like a pretty wholesome, you know, a nice wife thing to do. And I tried to cook a better meal last night because I want to be worthy of a better kitchen by cooking occasionally.
Okay, and that's a phase two. Don't you see it? I see through this. It's like you get the refrigerator and you were excited last night to make a better meal. And I don't mean better quality-wise, because that would be hard to do. But what I mean is, you know, like making it healthier for us. And she's basing all of the fact that we have a healthier meal because we have a new refrigerator.
What would you like me to spend money on? I realize, and I told Barton, I appreciate that that you're out there earning the money by being on the streets of New York in a big diaper, you know.
Want you sticking to our plan where we take every dime and we just sock it away. That's all we do.
Is that our plan?
That is our plan. That's your plan.
You mean I will do that and you will do that too. No more frivolous buys.
Oh, Jesus. You know, you bring up the one or two things that I buy. Honey, the refrigerator's gigantic, and we've got two other ones sitting in the garage.
Yes, but the refrigerator adds to the value.
And you got a guy cutting a hole in our wall.
And the reason that I did that is because, A, that is adding to, I'm making a master bedroom suite. It's not that expensive to cut a hole in the wall, and if the person wants the bedroom back, all they have to do is put up some more, two studs and a wall board, and then they've got the bedroom back. I can't win.
Well, okay.
Because I think about all these things.
I know you do.
I really do. I know you don't.
It's very dangerous.
Because
you know,
I don't talk about it with you, but I put a lot of thought into the purchases I make.
Listen, for the last time, and I'm not articulating this, the danger is not that you bought a refrigerator. The danger is that now you're getting into this mode where you're going to get this insatiable thirst to buy more stuff.
I'll go on the wagon with you.
You don't have to go on the wagon with me because I have not bought a space-age refrigerator like they have on Will and Grace.
No, but you just tell me how a box of cigars adds to the value of the house and how we will recoup that money.
Honey, a box of cigars doesn't add to the value of the house. It's something I get for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Well, you know what? I gotta go because I'm going to the health club that you insisted we sign up for 2 years that you have hardly used at all.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Gee whiz. What happened to me a couple of weeks ago? Oh, that's right. Near death. That's right. That's right. Total kidney failure. Gosh.
Oh, Let me see.
And the doctor says to me, don't do anything abdominal for at least 3 weeks because you're still tender down there. That's right.
All right. Goodbye.
Love you.
Thanks for ruining my little high.
What do you mean ruining your little high? I didn't ruin
your
little...
I told you today. I was just standing there stripping wallpaper how happy I was.
I didn't ruin your little high. You're going to be able to go back to all the other crackhead house frows on the street. And
you know what? I'm going to divert my energies into something a little bit more exciting than new kitchen appliances. I mean, it's kind of Stepfordy wife anyway. It was sort of pathetic. I was thinking how empty my life is that I'm so happy now while I'm standing here stripping wallpaper.
Okay. I told you it's going to happen. It's just because she gets a project, and then when the project runs out, that's when we get the big crash.
Well, now we're having the crash early.
Okay.
See, she could work me a lot easier than what I'm still thinking about what she's going to direct her energies into, you know, what she was talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, she just said she's going to direct her energies into something less Stepford wife-ish.
More exciting. No, that was just a hollow threat.
Okay, you did pick up a...
Yeah.
You just steamrolled right
by it. I just steamrolled right by it.
Yeah.
Hollow threat.
All right.
Listen, she knows. Really, you know what?
I'm sure there's things I could spend my time on that would cost you very little.
She'll get, you know, whatever she wants.
Emotionally, of course.
She will. You know,
God.
It'll be like everything, always. She'll get whatever she wants.
Sure.
She will. It's just, you know,
right.
we have an excess.
That's fine. I might not be home this evening. I mean, I it wouldn't be anything bad. Then you can order a pizza and we'll just, you don't need me to cook for you or be a good wife or be happy in the kitchen or sing. No.
Listen, all I'm saying is we have an excess of refrigerators right now. We have three refrigerators.
Why don't you give one away on the air? I told you one is going to Grandma and the other one is in the...
Great. Hey, can I do that? Can I give away? Which one are you giving to your mom, the nice one or the so-so one?
No, I was taking the white one down to the beach so that Mom could...
Beautiful. Then I would feel better. This is a quality friggin' refrigerator I'm talking about.
It was the bare bones of a refrigerator just to have one for the garage. Now, the one that came out of our house that had the ice maker, that was a nice one. But it was leaking all over the floor.
That's the one I want to give away.
And our appliances, our house is 11 years old. The appliances are getting, were not top of the line when they were in there.
Let me give away.
You know the way the economy's gone and houses are worth more now. So I was just going to increase the value.
Hello? Let me give away the one that has the ice maker.
Well, let's get a description of it if you're going to give it away. Let's get a rundown.
It's a GE 11-year-old profile. I think it's called a GE. It's called a GE something.
It's profile. It's GE. It's black.
Fine.
It's got the double doors. It's got the ice maker, crushed ice maker, or cubes. It's got cold water.
What about the leaking problem? Did you solve the leaking problem?
Yeah, that was just a veggie sausage clogging up the drain hole.
Yeah, see? No problem with it. We really didn't need a new refrigerator. Well, thank you, honey. I'd feel better if I could give away the old refrigerator.
Sure, and you can put it in the pickup truck and cart it over to the winner's house. I hope it's no one from Sacramento.
You know, I'll figure a way around that.
All right, go ahead.
I'll figure out a way to get it out of that house.
I think if you're giving away a refrigerator, the station should pop for the, hauling fee of like $50 to $100 to get it to somebody.
Maybe they'll pay for the new one that we got.
You think $50 or $100 would pay for the new one we got?
No. Well, maybe it's a tax write-off. Maybe the new one's a tax write-off.
Oh, yeah, right. How is the new refrigerator a tax write-off?
That's okay if your name is Helmsley.
I was watching that
all weekend on the True Network, Leona Helmsley.
Oh, is that the thing with Bob Newhart's wife?
Yeah, Suzanne Plouchette,
right.
Fantastic movie.
All right.
Great TV movie.
Goodbye.
Love you. Hold on. We're united voting for Gore.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
All's well that ends well.
Well, then I'll give away, and I am absolutely serious about this. This is a quality refrigerator.
It is. That's a very, and anybody knows anything I know about appliances, the appliance you're mentioning is a very top of the line.
That I have an emotional attachment to.
GE Profile, very nice appliance.
It has served me well. Hello, Chris.
Yes.
Are you a college kid?
Yes, sir.
Ah, now, how about that? You put that in your dormitory?
You wouldn't be able to fit that in a regular dorm room.
We have, a big closet that we don't use. We could probably just throw it in there.
No, and I wouldn't fit in the dorm.
No, it wouldn't fit.
I had a refrigerator. And most colleges don't allow you to have a big one. You can only have the little mini ones.
It's going to need a heavy-duty plug, and it's going to need some plumbing if it's got an ice maker.
Yeah, you're going to need plumbing to tie it into a water line so that you get to make your automatic ice.
I just need a refrigerator part.
This is an appliance... for a home.
Yes, don't go crazy, sir.
All right.
Sensible.
You know, I just see on the screen, Lisa put college kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know refrigerators are very important to college kid. They were important when I was in there. I had a little tiny one, little square one.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Like the one you have in your bedroom now.
Yeah, the one I have in the bedroom, which I don't use enough of. And I realized that as I was running downstairs, tediously running downstairs to get a soda last night.
Hello.
I can keep the peace in your household. I can remove that furniture from your abode.
What? Come again?
I can remove that refrigerator from your house for you.
You have a moving company?
Absolutely not. I have a Volkswagen.
Is it a Volkswagen?
Sure.
Well, see, here's somebody. He wants to simply come to your home.
Right. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Okay, Sugar Bear. I love you guys. But I got to talk to you, Don.
Yes.
What's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on? I'm giving
How in the hell could you change your mind? How could you go from Bush to Gore?
Hey, listen, I'm allowed to. I just got to tell you, in my heart, I believe more
you know what
Gore
buddy?
Says.
Let me tell you. Let me just go back here in history. I have been
does this
with
woman
you guys,
sound like she has a penis or what?
I have been with you guys for so many years.
So
I've
many
listened
years.
To you. I've been turning my husband on because he thought you guys were stupid.
Oh, I'm... It is. So this is going to blow it for you? We're going to lose you as a listener? Is that what you're saying? We're going to lose you as a listener?
Look, Don.
I've been a Democrat the whole time you've been listening to this show.
Mike, get over it.
Get over what?
Don, you're making
get over what? The fact that he's made the right decision, you can't.
You're making a mistake, Don. You're making a mistake. Bush is going to win this.
You know what? I agree with you.
He's going to win it.
I agree.
He's going to win it. He's going to win it.
I agree. Bush is going to win.
Sorry, Don. He's going to win. He's going to win it.
He's going to win it.
Honey, listen, slow down for a second.
Hey, I don't care. If he wins it, I've still voted my conscience.
I have said I believe Bush is going to win the election.
I would like to know two reasons why you've changed your mind.
Guns and abortions. Sorry.
There you go. You got your answer. What do you think of that?
And those are two reasons I take seriously.
Well...
Okay, there you go.
Good comeback, ma'am.
Thanks. I mean, this is not like something I'm just coming up with off the top
of my
head.
Well, I don't agree with the abortion situation. I know we have a problem with guns. I don't agree with the abortion.
Okay, well,
then fine. Life starts in consent.
Go out and vote tomorrow. I'm telling you, I'm voting for Gore, but I still think Bush is going to win.
And, you know, there are plenty of radio shows that have your viewpoint and your, you know, our mouthpieces for the conservative people
Funny,
of this country.
Listen,
go enjoy them.
I'm going to be happy when Bush wins. I got to bet with Mike here. I don't want to go to lunch with Tom Gavin.
It's a win-win situation for him.
But really, I couldn't lie to you. As I was going to vote for Bush, and really, I realized I'm going to go in tomorrow and vote for Gore.
You know, Mike, you really disappoint me.
Why do I disappoint you?
You're so...
So what?
You're so strong on this, and it's just not...
What's wrong with that?
It's just not the way your heart goes. I know it isn't.
Oh, you're full of crap. You forgot that my heart's been there for 41 years.
Settle down.
You cow.
Down, boy. Down, boy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yes?
My dad's birthday just passed, and I normally get him a Tive, and I would love to give him a refrigerator for his birthday. He drinks a lot of beer, too. He would love it.
All right, you know, I don't know. I'm going to have to take calls later and see who deserves it the most.
You can't just give it away. You got to have... people have to earn it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You got to do something for it. Yeah. It's a fridge.
Yeah, it just can't be the first person that calls in.
It's an appliance and a souvenir.
I'm telling you, this is bigger than when I gave away that toilet seat.
Yes.
When Frida bought new toilet seats.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
Can we put it in your office upstairs?
A good idea.
I don't want it in the office. We don't need a refrigerator in the office upstairs.
Why don't we?
You know, if anything, we'd need it down here.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah, right over there.
No, but if we had the...
Imagine we had a refrigerator right here.
Put a kegerator in it, I'll start drinking beer.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if we had a refrigerator right there?
It would also be good in the office. We could keep Besto in it.
All right, Dave.
It would hold a lot.
My first thought is really to give it away to someone who really could use a nice refrigerator.
Oh, my God.
In your office.
Or, come on, Don.
Okay. All right.
He would love it.
Obviously got to think about this. Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you, though.
Okay. Christ, so many decisions to make.
Yeah, it's exciting, though. I mean, somebody's going to have a brand new appliance, or maybe it'll be right here in the studio.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
There's no way. Let me just say this.
I just would say
there's no way that I would leave our refrigerator as you're holding your bag of lunch in front of me.
This sandwich that I hold in my hand would taste a lot better if it was cold and crisp.
There would be no way that I would put that refrigerator in this studio where other disc jockeys are in here.
Well, you could be like Steve Dahl, though, and put a lock on it, put a padlock.
No.
You could keep Canfield's Diet Chocolate Soda in there.
Hello.
Canfield. How the hell do you remember that name?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Jesus.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm a first-time voter, and I got a big problem.
What?
Who am I going to vote for?
Undecided, see?
I figure both these people are morons, and I live in New York, and Hillary and Lazio, they're both idiots in my mind.
So, all right, well, listen, in New York, listen to me now. You vote for Lazio, okay?
Yeah.
Why? Vote for Lazio.
Why?
I don't know who to vote for.
No, you don't. You vote for Hillary.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you vote for Hillary Clinton.
No, you don't.
Absolutely.
No, you don't. She's a carpetbagger.
So?
She doesn't know dick about New York.
She's more qualified. She's more qualified to be a senator.
Big cunning.
See,
I think you... Listen to me. You vote for Lazio.
Vote for Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
Vote for Lazio.
Vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, vote for Hillary Clinton. That's good.
Absolutely. It is very good. She's very qualified.
That's good. Why not just elect Florence Henderson?
Okay.
why don't we just put some other oddity in there? Some other... how about Shirley Jones?
Lazio's a tool.
Patrick Ewing for president, man.
Please. All right, goodbye.
Please.
I'm just telling you. Vote for Lazio.
Oh, Clinton.
If you're listening to us on NAW, vote for Lazio.
No, Citizens of New York, vote for Clinton.
Vote for Lazio. Clinton. And even though I'm voting for Gore, everybody else vote for Bush. Why win this stupid bet?
Well, I will tell you one thing, that your political stance has totally confused me.
And I will be giving away that refrigerator unless my cohorts somehow sway me over to the fact that we should just put it here in the station.
Well, I don't think we can. Obviously, we can't have it in the studio. That would not fly. But where could we put it? Could we put it in one of the back rooms there? I mean, could we put it somewhere down?
Yeah, if we kept it here, the only place to keep it is our office.
You know, they have raped this building for space.
Mm-hmm.
Like you wouldn't believe. There's not a square inch that's not covered by some salesperson.
I think you could put it immediately to the right of your door as you come in. There's a bookcase there now.
What, in our office?
Yeah.
We have room in the office.
I would really like to give it away to somebody.
Hey, yeah, give it away.
Yeah, let me just give it away.
I don't want it in our office.
Please, come on. Okay, let's clear the lines out. 877.
There's a refrigerator on the second floor.
365-3636.
Yeah, nice. It looks like somebody's wiped themselves with it.
877-365-3636. Prize package. Call 100 right now. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I flopped the nut straight. That's it. What the f*** you talking about that? To take it back,
yes,
eh?
Yes. No more. No. Not tonight. This son of a bitch all night. He tick, tick, tick. He trapped me.
Well, are you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes. Yes.
He beats me. Straight up. Pay that man his money.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, you want to know the essence of me? You want to know the ABCs of me?
Well, I still haven't figured them out after 15 years.
Rob just heard me on the phone with my wife. I talked a good game on the air.
Did you completely cave?
Yeah.
Yes, dear, you can get anything you want.
Were you listening?
No, I was in the other room.
Daughter, I said, hi, sweetie.
Go ahead, buy the oven.
Well, that's nice. I don't care. Thanks for happy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas, where are you from?
I'm from D.C.
Tom, caller 100, a good prize for you. You won the 26-week rental card, good for a free movie every week for the next 6 months at Blockbuster Video.
That's awesome.
The Patriot starring Mel Gibson, now available on VHS and DVD at Blockbuster. Thank you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the show every day on WJFK.
That's good that you went along with it, but see, what you ought to do is you ought to, like, put some influence in it now. Like, maybe get one of those pizza ovens. I'd love to have a pizza
for
oven.
For you. Yeah, I'd put it right next to my slot machine, Mike.
Okay.
If I had the room in my house, I'd put a pizza oven
Please.
In there. Like, one of the real, what are they, there's a, what's the name, Rob? You must know the name. There's a name for all those pizza ovens. You see them in every pizza.
I know exactly
every,
what you mean.
As the
pizza oven. ovens with the big door on.
Is it
front?
Blodgett? Is it Blodgett?
I believe you're right.
I think
we could probably get one in the office.
Oh, I'd love to have a pizza oven with a stone surface.
You don't just make pizza. You heat up sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Right. And you can get a nice little crispy. A pizza oven. I wonder if anybody has a pizza. You need a lot of electricity, don't you?
Sure, more
than normal.
Yeah, like restaurant size voltage.
Yeah, pizza oven.
So anyway, listen, that's it. She get what she wants. She would get it anyway.
Right.
She would get it anyway. Just feel bad for the old stuff that we're just tossing out now. But that's just me with the emotional attachment to these products that have done nothing but serve us well.
One man's trash, another man's treasure. Some lucky person might be coming home with a refrigerator.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we can bring that big refrigerator up here and put it in the office.
Is it in good shape? Is it nice and clean?
It looks brand new.
Decent.
Yeah, it's clean. It's clean. It's decent. It's clean and it's decent. This weekend, okay, here's my take on the teams in all the cities we broadcast to, okay? The Redskins, they suck ass.
Never should have lost that game yesterday.
They suck ass. Ravens scored touchdowns. Good for them.
Is that Trent Dilfer, right?
Yes. New Orleans Saints, you should be proud. If the playoffs started today, you'd be in and the Redskins would be out. Way to go, New Orleans. Oakland Raiders, that's the best team in the AFC. New York Giants, I said it before and I mean it now. You're really my team.
What do you think, seriously, of the New York Giants? As a New York Giants, a big New York Giants fan, what do you think of the Giants?
I watched the game yesterday. They got a passing game.
They got a passing game, but they also have,
They got the drunk throwing the ball out to
Kerry Collins.
To Amani Toomer.
Mike Hilliard, yeah.
Yes. Yes, the Giants are for real. The Giants will make the playoffs. And the Jets, listen, the Jets would have won that game yesterday if Vinny wasn't such a retard at the very end. Did you see the last play of the game?
I didn't.
They got the ball. It's Franks and Beans time.
Franks and Beans!
It's fourth and goal, like 20 seconds left. He rolls out to his right. The guy from Denver comes out, and Vinny gives him a little stiff arm. Now, he's not falling down or anything.
Right.
And Richie Anderson is alone in the end zone. But Vinny goes, me throw ball, Franks and Beans, and bounced it in front of him.
I saw, at what juncture of the game? So they tied it up after the interference called a Krebet, right?
No, they didn't. It was 30-23, and they got the ball down on
the one,
and then they were not able to punch it in.
I turned it off at that moment because I didn't want to commit to an overtime period. They didn't score after
that? No, and he screwed the pooch on that last play. Seattle Seahawks, I want to tell you, listen to us in Seattle.
Wow.
That is a bad team that just sucks. You should move from Seattle.
I like the helmets, though.
That's the worst team. Absolutely the worst
team. I like
team.
Any helmet with a bird on it.
San Francisco, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that team.
Garcia?
Yeah, he's good, but the rest of the team sucks. And Green Bay, where we broadcast on WNFL, the Packers station, good luck tonight.
Well, I hope they score some points.
Yeah, I know, because if they score, let me see.
This is a big moment for me tonight.
I've got your fantasy stuff right here, Mike. If Dorsey Levens.
Yep. Antonio Freeman. Or the Minnesota defense.
If any of those players score 3 points.
Right.
Mike O'Mara will get off the schneid.
Yes.
And will win his second fantasy game of the year.
Wow.
2-8, baby. 2-8. I could go 2-8. I could beat our commissioner, Tech Radio. 2-8. 2-8.
You'd still be tied for the worst record in the league.
Tied is a lot different than being the bottom of the barrel.
I'm rooting for you.
I'm down at the bottom of the barrel, but I've got company now.
We're all rooting for you.
Go, Pat, go.
You know what I don't know, and I asked you before, will Dorsey Levens be playing tonight with it?
My ankle hurts, my knee hurts, my...
You know what, you'll get at least 3 points from Minnesota's defense, so that's either 3 sacks or an interception.
But it's still very important for Dorsey Levens to play. He's my insurance policy. If he doesn't play, then I'm counting on Antonio Freeman, who's thrown up more goose eggs after the whole league wanted me to trade him.
But I want to tell you something, of all these cities we broadcast to where they have NFL teams, the team that disappointed me the most yesterday was the Washington Redskins. And I'm going to tell you something, Norv Turner, Scarface, if you're listening right now, I want to tell you something. On the sidelines, you know the difference between you and the other guy?
Oh, I love the other guy.
Okay, the mental patient who's the coach of the Cardinals.
The new coach of the Cardinals. I love that reaction.
This guy on the sidelines, he's yelling, he's screaming, he's running around, he's happy.
Going nuts.
Meanwhile, Norv's got the worst special teams in the goddamn league. The kicker misses field goals. They blow the extra point. They go to a shot of Norm on the sidelines. He's sipping his Gatorade. That's all he's doing is sipping his Gatorade.
He's poker face.
Please. He's pucker face. Yeah, he's poker face, all right? Like somebody's got him in the face with a poker.
He's pizza face.
He sure is. That's the worst. That's the team that disappointed me the most. Jesus.
Sure.
Redskins. Nice. Highest payroll in football.
Mm-hmm.
6-4.
Yeah, that's they never... Didn't they have, like, in every category, weren't they kicking their ass yesterday?
Yes!
So it's just all the fluke plays, the special teams plays that got them screwed.
Right. I mean, you would get a better reaction, I'm serious, from Tom Landry on the sidelines. And I mean Tom Landry as he is now. Tom Landry is dead. You could dig up Tom Landry's corpse and put him on the sidelines, put a Redskins jacket on him, and you would get more emotion than you get from Norv Turner.
I wish all coaches would behave like that coach of the Cardinals. Because I think that makes it more fun to watch when they're mm-hmm. jumping around. You're excited if your team wins. And why keep the poker face? Win or lose, get angry if you lose, throw things down. I love that.
Well, we gave it our best effort out there. And, you know, these are things you just got to work on. And we're going to work on it with special teams. Norv, listen, stop being a pussy. Fire the special teams coach.
Oh, there's a lot of things we can do. We can tell you, you know, there are things that I'll tell you right now that I've looked at our football team. And we've had a chance to, you know, so many guys made mistakes yesterday. It's difficult to, you know, we can sit here for 3 hours and go through all the problems right now.
I'm tired of it. I think everybody's tired of it. They're tired of the same old reaction.
You know, and meanwhile, I'm going to tell you something. That coach of the Giants, that guy Jim Fossil,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something. If you got near that guy with a match,
right.
He would explode.
Yeah, I love it, too.
I'm going to bet you that Jim Fossil has not had a solid bowel movement once this year.
But Fossil is a guy that is, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah.
You see the emotion, and I thought really when he was, because when you look at the guy at first, and when he first came into the league, you kind of think kind of a nerd Nick, you know, he has that nerd look on his face. But then as time goes on, you see him getting a little angry and you see him get emotional. I love that. I love to watch coaches that get like that.
And he's one of those sleep in the office guys.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And I saw him on the sideline yesterday at the Giants game. It's obviously sleep deprived. He's got these gigantic yeah. bags underneath his eyes.
He is definitely an unhealthy-looking man.
But that's what you need to be successful in the NFL. You have to be unhealthy.
But you remember Tuna.
You have to be a mental patient.
Tuna used to be on the sidelines, and he would always have that look on his face. He would always look sleep-deprived. He would always look like he was about to explode. And I love that in coaches. You know, the great ones always, you know, except for, and you have Tom Landry, a huge exception to that rule. But Tom Landry, you know, the rest of the league hated him because he was so, you know, sitting over there with his hat.
But you get pissed at Norv, because, you know, I know him, and I consider him to be not a friend, but an acquaintance. And he's a great guy. But God damn, he's an awful football coach. He really is. He's pathetic, and the Redskins are pathetic. And 6-4 sucks. It just sucks.
Well, I mean, of all the games they were expected to lose, that was not one of them.
You know, they should, and here I am, right here, 10 miles from Redskins Park. I go out there every week to cover the goddamn team for the pregame show. You think they ask me, look at my fantasy team.
You could help.
10-0. 10-0. I've already clinched my division.
What do you do right now? What's the quick fix for the besides firing the special teams coach, which is a knee-jerk reaction, what do you do to improve that?
But you know I love a good knee-jerk reaction.
Well, there's nothing like it. It makes the fans happy, Don.
You fire the special teams coach, and you know what you do? These guys have a bye week this week.
Yeah.
You know what you say to them? Hey, you don't get to go home and go see your mama down in Alabama. You come out to practice every day, and you're going to put pads on. What are you laughing at?
Go see your mama in Alabama.
Well, Chris Samuels
wants to go see his mother in Alabama.
Wants to see his mama in Alabama.
So you deprive them the opportunity to see their families.
Yes, and you say, guess what? Every day, we're out here, and we're running drills, and we're doing that nutcracker thing, and you wear your helmet, and you wear your pad, and every day.
Right.
Every day, I beat your ass to the ground.
So no time off during the bye week.
Right. That's it. That's what I do. I really would.
So, and you think that they come back with a big win against St.
I think
Louis?
At least I think they play with some emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I sure do. And look at I'm not
wrong, Mike. I'm 10-0.
I think you'd be a great football coach.
I'm 10-0. Look at this team I got. I'm the only guy in the league who has every player that I start score double figures. Trent Green, Oz Hakeem, Torrey Holt, Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith, Tony Gonzalez, Al Del Greco. So, Tampa Bay's defense.
Let me see if I've got you right here. What you're doing is you're drawing a line between the success of your fantasy team, who you do not coach.
Oh, but I do coach them. I pick them, and I put them in the lineup every week. What is there beyond that? Really, what is there? You pick the best players, and you put them out there. I'm 10-0, baby.
So you think you'd be a good, based on that you could be a good coach in the NFL?
Yes. Based on the fact that I'm 10-0 in the fantasy league. And I've already won the division. Already won.
You clinched the division this week, right?
Yeah, I won the money again this week.
It's incredible.
I won the money. So I'm here, Redskins. Make the change.
Of course, being 2-8, perhaps 2-8, I'm still right now looking, if I score no points tonight, being 1-9, I'd give the guys every day off. Just let them go. Just let them cruise. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, motherfuckers? Make the change. How you guys?
Do that again.
I said, what's up, motherfuckers?
Okay. Nothing. What can we do for you?
I just want to give you guys praises. I love you. Listen to you every day. You guys make my life easy driving truck all day long.
All right, real working, man. Thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
That was funny. I like that.
Right. See you later.
Hello, beeped himself.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, douchebag. Looky here.
What?
I was in North Turner's house cleaning his carpet a couple months ago.
Yes.
We was down in his basement, and the guy I was working with dragged his hand back and knocked over a vase as we were cleaning the carpet, or a lamp or something. He walked upstairs to tell Norv. Norv comes down and looks at it. He was like a stuffed animal. He just sat there and looked at it like some kind of a mental patient.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminded me of your wife and daddy.
And incidentally, like, boy, I wish we'd get a plug. I bet we could get a plug for your company, too. Not only do they go in and they F up by knocking over the lamp, but then they tell the world that he's a stuffed animal. There's a carpet cleaning company you want to hire.
Trust. Listen, he does need a personality transfusion.
Yeah, he. I wish he'd get more emotional, but that's not the guy.
No.
If they were 9-0, that'd be a different story because.
And that's why the Washington Redskins really don't give a crap that they're 6-4. It's like you do badly, but you're still all millionaires.
You know the thing is,
you got no one who's going to yell at you.
You look at Vermeil, who won the Super Bowl last year. Vermeil goes mental, win or lose. He gets incredibly demonstrative, and I think it's that kind of game. More than any other sport, I think the guys that go absolutely nuts are the guys that win a lot of games.
I mean this seriously. I really think the Redskins should check into Charles Manson as a head coach.
Hmm. Somebody who would really go absolutely nuts.
Look at this now. Charles Manson goes up in front of the parole board,
man.
And he carves a swastika in his forehead.
Right.
On the day that he's going to go up in front of the parole board, mm-hmm. he gets a knife and he carves a swastika in his forehead.
Yeah.
Okay? Mass murderer, serial killer, obviously psychologically unbalanced. Right. But I'm telling you, great football coach. Great motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Manson.
You bet he's a great motivator.
It's what the Redskins need.
Let me out now. That's amazing. I saw one time, didn't they have his parole hearing?
Yeah.
Where he's doing all these dances going, ooh, man.
It's on Court TV every 5 years or so. Whenever he comes up for parole, they put it on because it's a great show.
You can, he has an interchangeable voice with Dennis Hopper, too. You can actually listen to Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet and listen to Charles Manson when he's interviewed. Same voice.
That's right, man. Dennis Hopper would also be a great choice as coach of the Redskins.
Only if he reprised his role as the Hoosiers drunk. Remember that movie?
The dad?
Yeah, I forgot what his name was.
The dad in Hoosiers, right, drunk dad. Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
About Norv, remember when Gibbs was coaching? He had the stone face, too, except at halftime if they were behind.
Yes.
And you would hear stories about him throwing chairs and ranting and raving in the locker room. And then they would come out a totally different team afterwards.
Right, that's not Norv's style.
Wait a minute. Here's the difference. And you can use Joe Gibbs a la Tom Landry, the same kind of style, stone face. There's a huge difference. And the difference is with both Landry and with Joe Gibbs, those guys, to a man, were afraid of Gibbs. They were afraid. He might have been quiet about it, and he might have been stone faced, but the wrath of Joe Gibbs. Remember that when he coached?
You know what? That's what I'm talking about the Redskins when I said
They're 6-4. They don't care because they know nobody's going to yell at them. They still get their millions and millions of dollars. They still drive their Ferraris around. They know they're going to come to work today, and Norv is not going to yell at them. Norv is going to pat them on the head, and he's going to say, well, we just have to try harder next week.
But you're closer to the source. And at halftime, Norv has blasted that team at halftime before, hasn't he? Hasn't he gone nuts in the locker room? But there doesn't.
I've not seen it, so I can't tell you what his level of going nuts is. I know that, for instance, you know, the coach in Philadelphia, you know what he does when he's mad? Pulls all the players down by his ass and he breaks wind in their faces. All of them. What do you think of that, smart guy? You two, get over here. Linebacker, come right down. Oh, I forgot a team. I forgot we're on in Carolina. Great game against the Rams. The Panthers. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Hello.
You were mentioning the cities you guys were on and giving all the football teams crap, but you never gave Carolina there.
I know. Forgot that. Yes, Carolina played a great game last
year. Yeah, even though they sucked this year, but they still kicked the crap out of St. Louis. So
yeah,
got to give them their kudos.
Hey, listen, they're a better team than the Redskins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not hard to do.
Speaking of Joe Gibbs, isn't Joe Gibbs also like kicking ass in NASCAR now?
Yeah.
I mean, he goes into NASCAR. Nobody thought he could do it, and now he's just, you know, he's a big winner in NASCAR.
He's one of those guys who's won the lottery in life.
Yeah. Absolutely. He just knows how to win.
You know, Joe Gibbs. Mm-hmm. How come it's always a guy like Joe Gibbs? How come it's never a real a-hole who wins the life lottery?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who would be an example of somebody you would like to see win the life lottery?
Dennis Rodman. Someone who's just a gigantic jerk. And you might say, well, Dennis Rodman has won the life lottery.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Lewis?
Okay, good example. Jerry Lewis has also won the life lottery.
Right.
Larry King,
huge example.
He has won the life lottery.
Yeah.
But I mean, you never get the really over-the-top, 100% a-hole winning the life lottery.
That's true.
I mean, because even with Jerry Lewis, he can fall back on that crap with the telethon.
Right.
And Larry King can fall back on the fact that, you know, well, he does a TV show, and there are stupid people who like him and respect him. But generally,
just a pure a-hole.
You don't get
with no redeeming qualities.
You don't get the one person who everybody in our society agrees on that we all hate. You'd never get that person. I mean, like, come on, how unfair is that? Joe Gibbs is the coach of the Redskins. He wins 4 Super Bowls. He quits. He goes to NASCAR. He wins the goddamn Daytona 500. How unfair is that?
It is. Some guys just have all the luck. Just like the song. Just like the Rod Stewart song.
I know, and it never happens to a bad guy.
Huh.
It never happens to a real jerk.
I'm trying. Oh, there are lots of big winners in life that are jerks.
Really?
Yeah, well, see, you say, I don't think that Jerry Lewis and Larry King have things to fall back on. I think that they've been very successful in the lottery of life, and they're not a lot of redeeming. Look at Larry.
I know, and Kathy Lee Gifford is another one who's won the life lottery. But, I mean, here's, I guess, my point, that those three, Jerry Lewis, Larry King, and Cunny Lee, they have their followers.
Mm-hmm.
They have their minions who believe they're great.
Right.
Show me the one person
universally hated
by everybody who's become a big winner in the lottery of life.
Boy, that's hard.
Someone who's achieved great success, and you really can't figure out why they've achieved this great success. And don't call in and say me, everybody, because I got news for you. I'm a big a-hole and a jerk, but I've not achieved great success.
Martha Stewart, but she's got...
No, you know what?
She's got fans.
Remember the day we called her a cow?
Right.
And all those house frows called up and said, how can you attack Martha Stewart?
It's tough because, I mean, in show business, you have to wipe out that total genre, because in show business, you have to have a following.
That's true.
To be successful. So you have to take that out. It would have to be somebody
in business.
And she is
set for life in spite of her mean reputation.
Yeah, but she has her fans.
Well, see, you can't. I think that in show business, then that completely eradicates the chance of picking anyone in show business, because they all have their fans. They all have their, you know, their people.
I just, one time, I'd like to see a jerk win it all.
That's all.
I'd like to see the jerk win it all, win the life lottery, and then just pull down his pants and take a leak on everything.
Take it dumb. Go all the way with it.
Hey, you know, hey, look at this.
Take a look at this.
I won the Super Bowl. I won the Daytona 500. What do you think of this? Take a look at this.
What you would need is to have a very successful, like, business guy who has screwed everybody to get to where he has to get and have him win, literally win the lottery.
Yeah, you excellent know? Example.
Like an incredibly wealthy
excellent
guy.
Excellent example. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, hey, speaking of businessmen, what about Donald Trump? Nobody likes him.
You know, that's... okay. I think that's true.
That might be the closest mm-hmm. to what I'm talking about.
Have Donald Trump win the lottery. But or have Daniel Snyder win the lottery.
That's all. I just wanted to offer my opinion.
Like, he's got the Redskins. That, 4 years old.
The Donald Trump is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people... You know, I can't think of anybody who really likes Donald Trump.
No.
I mean, he's got his phony friends, but you know they're not his real friends. They just like him because he's Donald Trump.
He's pretty much universally hated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's won the lottery of life.
He's already won the life lottery.
Right. Yeah, that's a good example.
There's an example. Okay, I take it back.
Donald Trump.
There has been a total jerk who's won the life lottery. And it's Donald Trump.
Ted Turner might be close.
People don't
universally like Ted Turner.
Yeah, but he does nice stuff. Like he gave like $1 billion to charity and stuff.
He does good stuff.
Hello.
Hey, what about Leona Helmsley?
Yeah, but she ended up losing the big game of life, you know, and I watched her on the True Network.
Hello, Donna, my show.
Harry.
Yeah, yes, this is Sam Huff.
Oh, come on, get off the phone. Hello, Donna, my show.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
You know, this thing you guys were talking about Turner, if you look at all the good, successful head coaches in the NFL, dicks. They're all dicks. They're hated.
That's true.
Norv is just not mean enough, man.
Right. You know what you really need?
A little level of meanness.
You need a guy like that coach of the Raiders. A coach of the Raiders looks like if he had a gun, he would just shoot people for fun. You ever seen that guy on the sideline?
I haven't seen the coach of the Raiders.
John Gruden.
Okay.
The guy constantly scowling. And right. I don't mean like a little scowl. I mean like... See, I'm doing like this?
Right.
My eyebrows like this? Always pissed.
Coughlin's another one.
Yes.
Commandant Coughlin.
Yes.
The problem is, those guys last half a second as soon as they start to lose.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, for the a-hole they're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about George W.? We'll see tomorrow if he's a big asshole winner or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I guess we will.
We will.
Yes,
we'll find out tomorrow. My man.
Just see if I'm a winner. The lottery of life.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Walt Disney.
Oh, no.
No,
oh.
Beloved. No, Michael. No, hold on. No,
Michael Eisner. There you go.
Yeah, no.
Oh, Michael Eisner. Yeah, but Walt Disney, I mean, he just, all those people who did all that years of work for him and got nothing.
I got a great Disney story here. Thank you, my friend. I know we got to do a break. I got a great one out of the paper today. We love these Disney stories.
Yes.
Disney! We got the Disney music, Rob?
Yeah, one more.
Because we always love giving Disney good pub whenever we can.
Absolutely.
Whenever we find a story that we think really sums it up about the Disney Corporation.
In another incident.
In Orlando, Mike, a 37-year-old Walt Disney World tourist was killed after he stepped off Splash Mountain ride midway through and was hit by another boat.
Not a real smart thing to do.
No, don't do that. A Disney spokesman says he got out of the boat on his own. Mm-hmm. He wasn't pushed. He didn't fall. Why he did that, nobody knows.
Well, I guess they weren't able to cover it up. They weren't able to cover it up at all.
But I'm sure that they're going to give his family some nice Pocahontas and Hercules stuffed animals.
Absolutely. Yeah. And lifetime passes to the park. Because, you know, what family doesn't want to go back there when they lose a loved one?
That's our Disney moment today. Because we love sharing them with you.
Splash Mountain, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
I guess it was a Red River then after that.
And in, where is this one from? Two stories on the same page of the paper today. From Lewistown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
This one is just about drunks in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these two guys are out on Friday night. Or maybe it was a week ago, Friday night. Two guys are out, and they meet in a bar. They go back to the guy's pickup truck, and they start drinking in the guy's pickup truck.
Okay.
Two guys don't know each other. They're strangers, meet in the bar. They go to the guy's pickup truck to continue to drink.
Okay.
Freed, one of the guys, told police he and Land, that's the second guy, had been drinking in Fred's truck when Land became arrogant and cocky and pulled a knife on him.
Oh.
Police said that Freed hit Land, tied a clothesline around his neck, fastened the other end to his truck, and dragged him away.
Oh, my God.
But the truck became stuck near railroad tracks, and the guy who was dragged behind the car was hit by a train.
Oh, my God.
Drunks in the news.
So, I guess tying what did he tie around his neck?
Okay, he meets this guy in a bar.
Right.
They go to his truck to continue to drink.
And they have a fight.
He says, the second guy became arrogant and cocky and pulled a knife.
Became arrogant and cocky, I guess.
That's right, when you have him back to the cab of your truck for a few drinks.
Right.
So at that point, after the guy becomes arrogant and cocky and pulls a knife on him, the other guy, who just happens to have it with him, ties a clothesline around the guy's neck, fastens the end to his truck, and drags him away.
Right.
But the truck gets stuck on the railroad tracks, and the guy's hit by a train.
I assume the other guy is dead?
Yes, the other guy is dead. The second guy is dead.
Oh, my God.
A hearing was held Thursday for the first guy. He's held without bail, charged with criminal homicide, aggravated assault. Police responding to reports of the accident found the guy who actually made it out of this bleeding from his hand. Less than a mile away, they discovered the other guy, partially nude, with a clothesline still around his neck.
That'll do it.
Jesus Christ.
God.
What is wrong with people, man?
Well, the moral of that story is be careful who you invite to your truck.
And watch it when you go to Disneyland.
And, you know, if you're going to be drinking with a guy in the cab of your truck, don't get all cocky and arrogant. Or partially nude.
Because he might have a clothesline.
Partially nude. What if that was afterward?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say.
Or maybe before.
Okay. Hold on. That's our world. Hold on. We'll be right back. I'd just like to say, I think the guy who drove the truck, though, he would make an excellent coach of the Washington Redskins.
There you go.
He'd be a perfect coach. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, the next time I see Lisa, I got a member to ask her if she he flowered Bart yesterday.
Really?
Well, we came into the Buzz, your condom just fell off your microphone there.
It was shocked.
That little rubber thing just fell off your microphone.
Yeah.
Well, we came in yesterday to do the Redskins pregame show because it was an away game.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart came in with me and we were about a half hour before the show, and Lisa works on that show also, and she was back by the computer, and she says, oh, is this Bart? And he said,
yes, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you?
And then I noticed, normally, when I bring Bart to work with me on a Sunday for a Redskins away game, he hangs around in the studio a lot, and pretty much he becomes kind of a pest where I can't get rid of him. Well, yesterday, all day, he was just gone.
Really?
He was not around.
Hmm.
He was just not here.
And was he in the company of Ms. Lisa?
Well, she was in and out of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a while he was playing computer games, but I also know that they were...
I know that people like Charles Stossel, Dennis Murphy, and other visitors become captivated with Lisa and just sit there in the back room and stare. I wonder if Bart was doing the same thing.
I don't know. She looked very hot yesterday.
Really?
She looked hot today.
Yes. Was she wearing her leather pants or whatever?
No, she just had, not that I paid attention.
Right.
But she had very tight designer jeans on and a little shirt that showed her belly button and I believe some kind of a vest.
Well, I'd like to know what happened.
Well, Lisa, come here. Did you deflower my son?
Lisa?
I don't think anything happened.
He's grown up
I'm
so
just,
fast.
You know, I'm goofing on this, really.
Right.
But I'm just double-checking.
Well, anything's possible.
And also, I want to ask her something. So, did you deflower Bart yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I'm
good
sorry.
For you. Good for you, no.
Did you spend some quality time with the boy?
Actually, I talked to him quite a bit in the back. And that, he is so mature for his age. He is not 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying, you know, like...
He is so mature for his age.
Was he mature enough that if he had asked, you would have deflowered him?
Well, I'd rather not tell 6 million other people, but...
Yeah, maybe so.
Sure.
And she was talking PlayStation with him, so they, you know, they got him all... even hotter than like girl stuff,
of course.
PlayStation stuff. Now listen, I don't want to say anything that would embarrass Bart, but I do know that he has his homecoming dance this weekend. I know you have a boyfriend, and I also know that he... you know, I can't say. I'm going to have to talk to him first, because I don't know if he's firmed up a date yet or not.
Right. Would he... How would he feel about that?
If Lisa went?
Yeah. How would he feel about...
You know what it would be? Imagine a 15-year-old, a sophomore in high school, walking into his homecoming dance with her.
But I ask you once again, have you thought about, even with that, have you thought about how he would feel about that?
No, of course not. I mean, this is just off the top of my head.
Right. I love the idea. Don't get me wrong. I truly love the idea.
I noticed a rapport between them yesterday. You know, look at her. Jesus Christ, she's easy on the eyes.
And how old are you, Lisa?
Almost 24.
24.
Imagine that.
A woman.
Yeah.
A grown woman.
And
a boy.
Who knows? Perhaps he's already got a date. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was just...
I mean, I'd say it would be wonderful.
Just thinking. I don't know. And I really don't know if he'd be up for it. You know, because, I mean, it's his life. It's real life. It's not a goof like when we sent Dennis Murphy to that girl's prom.
Speaking of whether he'd be up for it, Lisa, how would you feel about that scenario?
I would go.
There you go. Yes, she's grinning ear to ear. I think she liked the idea.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I'll let you know. Well, he'll probably call you today about that PlayStation thing anyway. Because that's the other thing she said to him yesterday. Well, I know I can get you a PlayStation, too.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And that's all he's been thinking about.
I want pictures if they go.
So this is the weekend. Just a couple of things in this weekend. I finally did something with my wife that she wanted to do, because, you know, if you hear us talk about things we do, she thinks the world revolves around me because that's the way I like it, and I think the world revolves around her because that's the way she likes it.
Right.
So about a month ago, she said to me, I want us to go to Cirque du Soleil. And I said to her, what is Cirque du Soleil?
Right.
And she said, it's a circus. And I said,
a circus from French people.
I said, well, I like the circus. And she said, well, it's a cultured circus. And because she had asked me like a month ago.
Lots of acrobatics and things like that.
She asked me a month ago. I said, sure. She said, it would be great. We do stuff you like all the time.
Were there any lions?
No animals. She says, why don't we do something that I like to do? So Saturday afternoon, she said, hey, here are the tickets. Let's go to Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil.
And I figured out immediately as I pulled up in the parking lot what I'm getting into.
How did you do that?
And when I saw the clientele.
The upscale kind of
yes.
Yuppie.
That had come to the 4 o'clock Saturday show of Cirque du Soleil. And I did have a decent time.
Did you enjoy the Cirque du Soleil?
Okay, here's the thing about Cirque du Soleil.
Lots of tights.
First off, there's Robbie, and that's exactly what I told Rob about this. Lots of like danskins, okay?
Yeah, of course.
And the guys wearing no shirts.
Okay? Ah, really?
So it's guys walking around, big sculptured tops, you know, and they got the tight pants on. Lots of acrobatics. Lots of ballet stuff.
Right. I just picture you at that event.
Lots of stuff, like where they lower this girl from the ceiling, and she's got a rope tied around her waist, and the whole time, it sounds like a Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
You know, they got this weird...
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Right, they got this weird... French opera-style music that's being sung, and they got a band there. And
but they do incredible acrobatics, right?
Yeah, it was 50% circus, 50% American Psycho. Because it was absolutely the queerest thing I'd ever been to. At one point, I leaned over to Frida, and I said, without the nudity... This is like one of those scenes from the movie Eyes Wide Shut. Okay? Without the fact that the people
were... They had little masks on, too, right?
Oh. Yeah, but she liked it, and...
Well, you liked it, too, right?
And Bart liked it. And you know what?
Did you like it as much as American Psycho?
There were parts of it. There were parts of it that I actually liked.
Really?
Okay. Good.
Well, it's supposed to be fantastic. The way they do the acrobatics are phenomenal. But, I mean, it's not a circus with clowns and elephants and lions or anything like that.
They didn't have clowns.
They had clowns? clowns.
But the clowns that they had
were like, you know, French clowns.
Yes, absolutely.
As long as I've been living, the French have been f***ing us.
The clowns, like, they didn't have the bozo hair.
Right.
They didn't have the big shoes. And they didn't have the car that opens up that has 15 of them coming out.
They're like mimes.
Yeah.
Like mime clowns.
Yes, and they wore, except for the
bad clowns.
Except for the fact that they wore baggy suits.
Right.
There was nothing that would tell you that these, in fact, were real clowns.
Did the clowns also have the chiseled bodies?
One of them did.
Really?
One of the clowns had the chiseled body.
Excellent.
And there was...
Did the women have nice bodies, too?
Hard to tell because the women were all covered up.
Really?
Yeah, the guys were half naked, you know.
And they, you know, they'd, like, climb up ropes and stuff with their big arms.
Yeah, and then they would, like, swing around the circle while this bad combination of ABBA and Bohemian Rhapsody music is playing.
Group ABBA.
And, anyway, I went, the sex clowns. It was,
sex clowns.
It was an interesting experience.
Was there any highlight, anything that really made you go, wow, that's incredible that I just saw
they
that?
They did have some stuff, like they had these girls, and by girls, I mean like 12-year-old girls, these Chinese girls. And these girls should not be in Cirque du Soleil. They should be in a freak show.
Right.
Because one of them could, she was so flexible, she could bend herself all the way over backwards so like she would turn herself into a table.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Where she would actually bend over backwards and her stomach would become the table.
So did one of the other ones turn herself into the plate?
No, there was nothing sexual about it.
Oh, okay.
Nothing
all right.
sexual at all.
But pretty incredible. And they had the Chinese acrobats there?
Yeah, there were lots of Chinese and Japanese kids and obviously lots of, you know, virtually all of it from people from other countries. And
did you enjoy this as much as you enjoyed the Seoul Circus?
They didn't speak a lick of English, but I made it through.
That's good.
I made it through
Saturday afternoon, too. Kind of a fun thing to do on an afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was fine.
I'm sure your wife was very happy that you
were. She was, yeah. and I put up no resistance.
That's
and
great.
I said to her, when we're done, I said, you know what? That wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And for me, that's a rave.
Mm-hmm. I should remind you that Nathan Lane is playing in The Man Who Came to Dinner. Is that what it is, Rob? Right?
Yeah.
The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Is that the
Rob and I are, you know, planning on checking it out at one of these days in New York City.
Also, and if we don't get up to New York anytime soon, Mike and I are going to go see Defending the Caveman.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob Becker, Defending the Caveman.
He is surprisingly sensitive to women.
Absolutely. You don't just watch the TV. You become the TV.
Yeah, you'll laugh with your heart.
Perhaps you don't... Perhaps everybody out there doesn't get what's really being said here about Defending the Caveman. I mean, listen, because these two queers are really going to go see the Nathan Lane show.
Hey, Nathan Absolutely. Lane, very funny man.
But you're not serious about the Defending the Caveman.
Not in a minute. Absolutely
but
not.
But it's a fine show.
Sure.
Okay, wait. The only other thing I want to tell you about this week, it's just a pet peeve, that yesterday morning I go to the grocery store and I make the mistake as I'm walking out of saying, do you need anything? And she says, yes, we need dog biscuits for the dogs. You know, little milk bone treats.
Right.
Fine. No problem. I go in the store. I get the stuff that I need.
Right.
I go to the dog and cat food aisle. And I ask you not, for 10 minutes, I am walking up and down the aisle, and I see kitty litter, and I see kitty treats, and I see chew bones, and I see every brand of cereal, rather of dog food possible. And I don't see...
The biscuits.
The biscuits. Mm. 10 minutes, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then from around the corner comes my friend Jim, one of our neighbors. And he says, hey, how you doing? And I said, I am baffled. I said, look at all this dog food. Where are the dog biscuits? And he said...
Did you grab on him? I picture you grabbing his arm. Jim!
No, he said...
Jim, I can't hold her.
He says to me... This is what's effed up about the grocery store. He says, my wife sent me in for dog biscuits about 2 weeks ago. He says, I know where they are. I said, oh, thank God. He said, yes. I've been there 10 minutes. And I
so
said,
it's obvious that the dog biscuits are in an unusual location.
Yeah, I said, I've walked up and down
right.
every aisle of the store, mm-hmm. and I've gone back and forth on the dog food aisle. I don't know.
They're in the processed meats section.
He said, go to the very front of the grocery store. The very front, past the area where you check out.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You know, after you check out, when you're pushing your card out,
right?
That's where they have the dog disc.
Like where they have the bubble gum machines.
Yes.
Well, that sucks.
So I think he's goofing me at first. I push the card up. I go up there, and it's like, oh, my God, he was right. There they are. I go and I grab the box. Jim comes around the corner, and he gives me the thumbs up. You know, because I'm an idiot, I give him a thumbs up, and I go,
mission accomplished.
Got it. Absolutely got it.
Just another stressful day in suburbia.
So I get the stuff. I get home, and I say to Frida, because I'm glad that I've actually fulfilled one of my tasks, because all the time she sends me to the store for stuff, and I never bring the right stuff home, I say, hey, I got them right here. You see it? Milk Bone Treats. Got them. She goes, great, what was the problem? I said, ha-ha, they're not by the dog food. She said, I know, they're up front. I said, ha-ha, but they don't tell you that.
Are they? This is in every grocery store, right?
I understand that this is commonplace in Safeway.
Safeway.
That this is how the Safeway
is. There you go, there's your problem.
This is how Safeway is formatted.
They do that because it's also with the big, big bags of dog food.
Right.
And it's easier to offload them in a wider aisle, like up front. And so they keep the dog foods, the dry dog foods, together. I think the cans are still on the aisle, though.
My wife sent me in for canned dog food one time. You know where they put that?
Where?
Up on the roof.
No kidding.
I had to take a ladder to get up there. Pain in the ass.
So she says to me, well, why are you such a dummy that you spent 10 minutes walking around? I said, well, thank God I ran into Jim Falk, because he told me he had the same problem. He told me they're all the way at the front of the store. And she said to me, why didn't you just ask somebody who works in the grocery store?
Yeah, why not?
And I thought about it. I thought, I don't know why. And then she looked at me, she says, because you're a man.
No.
Because you're a man.
You want to do it on your own, but at a certain point, you probably would have asked somebody if your friend hadn't come by.
I don't think I would have.
Really?
I really don't think I would
have. You have to sometimes. Sometimes there's stuff in there you're just not going to find.
I was
would you have left the store crying before you would have talked to a man?
I don't know about the crying, but I would have left.
Right?
Yeah. I would have left because I'm not kidding. I went up and down every aisle. There are 18 aisles in this grocery store.
Right.
Up and down, meticulously looking for the dog biscuit.
Was there anything else besides the dog biscuits in the front of the store? Did they have them?
Like Rob said, they had the big, if you want the 30-pound bag
of dog food.
Of dog food.
Okay, all right.
They had that up front.
But the treats were in a cereal box sized box.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy. They should be back with the can.
They had the dog food in the big bags. They had the milk bone treats and all of those crates of the fake logs for your fireplace.
Right.
That's what they had up
front. That I understand.
That's what they had up front. Well, no, I don't get that either.
That's crazy.
Because the stuff you're going to buy, you should have before you get to the checkout.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess if they run out of room with all the other dog food products.
I don't know. I've got a pathetic life, and I'm sorry. This is all I have to report.
This is Panic in Suburbia. That's going to be the title of your new novel.
This was a big item in my life yesterday.
And the guy was very, obviously, that told you where the dog biscuits were, was very proud of himself.
Yes, because he'd been in the exact same situation.
Have we ever had the discussion, I'm sure we have, about eating dog biscuits? Have you ever enjoyed a dog biscuit?
Sure, when I was a kid all the time.
Yeah, I like dog biscuits.
My brother and I would do it, like, on a bet with each other.
I wonder what the real ingredients are in a dog biscuit, though, because I've enjoyed them for years.
Probably the same as in human biscuits.
A lot of bone meal, I know that. I'm sure ground-up parts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Parts.
Hello.
Parts, Rob.
Parts.
Hello. Yep, all right, I'm trying the phones here. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are.
Hey, how you doing, Buzz, also?
Hey.
I thought they might have been court jesters. I saw the circus myself one time. They look like jesters.
Did they have jester hats on?
No, they did not.
Mm.
They had, like, big floppy hats on.
Mm-hmm.
Like fedora hats.
Was there any intercourse at all?
Or they have little bells hanging off them?
No, they didn't have, like, those hats. And, no, Mike, there was no intercourse.
Okay.
The sex jesters.
Now, that's a circus I'd go see.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Really make it like Eyes Wide Shut? Would you love to go see that?
It was the queerest thing I'd ever been to in my life.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Calling
about the dog biscuit.
Yeah.
And it's called impulse buying. They put the dog biscuits next to the dog food.
No. But listen to me.
So you pick up the dog food and buy the dog biscuits at the same time, even though you might not need them.
Hold on. I understand the psychological advantages of impulse buying, but I'm talking about where they have these items in the store. You would only see them after you've already gone through the checkout.
So you, what you said made sense, is that they're next to the big oversized bags of the dog food because those are so big that they can't fit in the normal store aisles.
Right.
That's why the biscuits are up there.
Well, yeah, no, the biscuits are there because they want you to buy them. They, when you go to ask somebody where the dog food is, they point you to the front of the store.
No, they don't.
And when you get up there, there's the dog biscuits right in front of you.
Now, listen to me, please, you idiot. The dog food is in aisle number 7.
Understood.
It's only the monster bags of dog food that are up at the front of the store.
Okay.
It still doesn't make any sense that they don't put the biscuits in with the regular aisle.
Right. Because then if you're going for the impulse buy, you're only getting the impulse buy of the people who buy the giant 30-pound bags of dog food.
Yeah, right. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It pissed me off. Bad planning. And my Safeway
biscuits.
And I love my Safeway. And I love
they ought to put the dog biscuits in the regular biscuits. I like Triscuits and put them in the snacks.
Do you want to know something about it?
Were there snossages or anything like that in the...
Yes.
In the aisle, there were some of the other... Were there liver snaps?
Yes, there were all of the perishable treats that were in their little bags. And you want to know how pathetic I am? I did go down the cookie and cracker aisle.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, why not?
With the human cookies and the human crackers, because I thought, you know, maybe that's where they put them.
Liver snaps.
Hello?
I wouldn't eat those.
Don and Mike Show.
Little mustard.
Hello?
And snossages. I wouldn't eat those, even though I love the commercial snossages.
Hello?
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah,
did you ever try Doggy Donuts? Used to be a product that was out a couple of years ago.
I've seen Doggy Donuts. I know what you're talking about.
I did, yeah. I actually tried that one.
Yeah,
you ate one?
They were actually pretty good.
They were.
Tasted like real donuts.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Really?
Pretty high fat content, though. Probably.
What were the circumstances involved in you eating one of those bugs?
Well, we had them for my dog, and they were pretty. You know, they had nice colors, and they smelled good. So I ate one, and
that's
I liked
not,
it.
You know, you can't just eat something that smells good, Buzz.
Never stopped me before.
That's the fast track to poisoning.
You know what else is a great product? I think they still make it. Frosty Paws frozen treats for dogs. And they are. It's not ice cream. It's like frozen dog food, and it's
right.
In the ice cream aisle.
Frosty Paws?
Frosty Paws.
That's a good head for a disc jockey.
Hey, Frosty Paws with you.
Our Alaska affiliate.
Hello.
Frosty Paws.
The Donna Mike Show.
Hi, this is the gay guy from the Giant commercial. I want you to know that our biscuits are all in the same aisle together, and if you use your bonus card, you save a lot of money.
Thank you, Gay Tommy.
That's probably for people in the immediate Washington, D.C. area, but they have a new character on the Giant Food commercials.
Gay Tommy.
Gay Tommy, like, going into classrooms and stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, about them dog biscuits, you know, they take the blood from, like, dead cows and stuff like that, and they dehydrate it down for the protein product.
Yeah.
And they also cook the guts and livers and stuff like that to get the juices out for protein.
You mean in dog biscuits?
For dog biscuits.
Do they say that on the label?
No. It'll just say animal protein product.
Well, then how do you know that?
I'd love to see somebody.
Because I work for a company that supplies stuff to a company that does that.
That renders the animal?
Yes.
Mm. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, I see that word. You know, I saw it was on one of the datelines or something like that where they were talking about an animal rendering plant. And the town nearby, they couldn't stand the odor.
Huh. The smell.
Just like they drained all the animal blood and stuff into the river.
Into the river.
Okay, hold on.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, whiz gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
Broadcasting with a secret stash of ass gas, Don and Mike.
Now listen, lots of big stuff happening on the show. Friday, we're giving away a trip to Tampa Bay.
All right.
See the WWF Survivor Series. In demand, Sunday, November 19th. Call Comcast or Cox Cable to order this pay-per-view event.
Good.
And next Monday, are you ready for a really great trip?
Yes.
We're giving away a trip for two to Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, I have wanted to go so often.
Wow.
To tour the Marshall Space Center.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, that is a vacation.
The Outer Limits is back. Sit back and experience the unbelievable Sunday at 1 a.m. Hey, a cherry time slot.
Is it Huntsville, Alabama?
On Fox 5, yes.
Oh, man, what a great place to be.
It's great to not to be here. Confused with the other town in Alabama right next door that starts with a C.
Yeah, they're related.
The Outer Limits, new stories, new stars, new season. Very soon, Strip Trivia 2000.
Wow.
Welcome to Seville, Alabama.
We are going to be playing that very soon and going to be telling you about a big Thanksgiving show this year. Ooh. That involves Thanksgiving dinner with Mr. 40.
Ah, oh, wonderful.
Great. So lots of big events coming up on the show. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Bodders.
Hey, Body.
How you doing over there?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine, Michael, and yourself.
Oh, that's pretty.
Hey, listen, do you guys still have that tape of Robbie when he was announcing at the football game?
Hey, yeah, Rob, did you ever cut that up?
I forgot to, but I can get it. Give me a second.
Because we have a gal here at work who is missing that day, and that's all she's been hearing us talk about.
Just get the part where you screwed up Dan Wilkinson's name. All right, thank you.
We'll can I give a shout-out to her?
What?
Am I the only one who's not surprised that didn't find its way onto a tape cartridge in the studio?
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello?
Hello.
How you doing? My name is Muhammad.
Yes, hello, Muhammad.
I listen to your show all the time. I love your show. I just had a comment about earlier you guys were talking about the most hated person in the world.
Well, not necessarily the most hated person in the world, but the person who seems to have won the life lottery, the biggest jerk who's won the life lottery.
Exactly. You know who I think it is?
Who?
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein?
His own people hate him. Everybody hates him. Everybody hates his guts.
But has Saddam Hussein won life's lottery?
He took over the country. He has so many mansions. He has more money than any probably any other.
I think that'd be a good category of dictators.
Also, another thing.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I think he, if he was to be Redskins coach, I think he will do 100 times better than the coach North Turner.
Yes, I agree. If Saddam Hussein was the Redskins coach, he'd do better than North Turner.
Better make that field goal.
That's for sure. That's right. You get your leg cut off.
Yeah, you want that. Keep that foot. You better make the field goal.
And you don't botch a snap either on an extra point try.
You probably start with the fingers and then take the whole arm. Then from the shoulder down. Got it clean off.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
Redskins fans, stick around after the game for the amputations.
Hello.
It's the Predator guy, man.
Predator guy. Hey, Predator guy.
What's going on?
Hey.
But let me tell you something real quick. On Friday, I was up in New York, you heard? And I was coming up there to see you guys. I don't know if y'all guys knew that or not. Charlie said you did, but you didn't. But I was hoping to see y'all while I was up there. So I made my way all the way up to the...
Oh, man, that was the day that we did know you were there, and we got so busy that we forgot that you were up there. You were waiting in the lobby, weren't you?
Yeah, I was up there a while.
Oh, we apologize. Humbly apologize.
Sorry, Predator guy.
No, it's not a problem, but check this out. While I'm up there waiting in the lobby, it's this guy sitting up there. I guess he was going on the O&A show, right?
Right.
I'm sitting there, you know, looking at the receptionist, you know, just thumbing my nail, you know, just playing myself, waiting for my...
Thumbing your what?
I'm down, huh?
Thumbing your what?
No, it's just a little slang I say. Thumbing my nails. But that's neither here nor there.
Thumbing his nails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, check this out.
What?
This guy with about, you know, he got on a pair of Levi's. It's about, it got to be, you know, three times his size.
Right.
Well, actually, they were smaller on. They were two or three sizes small. Looked like a Steven Tyler wannabe gone wrong, you know. He's up there with a guitar and everything, and he's sitting up there. He signs in his name and saying that, you know, he has to go on the show and all that. But by this time, another hot lady comes in. She signs her name. They punch her in downstairs, and she goes straight down. Well, some guy named Stinky, he comes up, grabs the lady, takes her down. He's like, hey, what about me? He's like, do they know you're coming? He's like, yeah, my name is such and such, you know, and I'm supposed to be...
Hey, Predator guy, is there an end to this story?
Jesus Christ. Actually, it's really an end to the story because it was so stupid how it happened. So he's all outraged, right? He's upset because, you know, they haven't coming up to get him.
Right.
So he starts making a power call on his little StarTAC. You know, and he's, you know, doing all this thing, you know, talking, right, on the...
Okay, sorry.
Ooh. I had to just... Oh, my God.
End of that.
Yeah.
Tape one.
Horrible.
Thank you, Robbie.
Yeah.
Just let me redefine the rules for some of our regular callers.
Good.
Predator guy, your job, and it's tenuous now, your job is to call in...
Right.
...and to recite dialogue from the movie Predator.
Exactly.
That's how you get your airtime.
The storytelling department, a miserable failure.
Okay, here now is Rob introducing
Dan Wilkinson
at the Redskins game.
At defensive tackle!
Okay, there it is. We found it for ye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I talked to Don and Mike.
Yes,
Don, how you doing?
We're here, hi.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Fine.
That's good. How about George Steinbrenner, somebody that's made it pretty good?
Yep, that's good. That does count.
But not hated by everybody.
Oh, but pretty much hated.
You're just
even by the Yankee fans. The Yankee fans hate
you. You're a Red
Sox
fan. No.
No.
George Steinbrenner in New York is not hated by everybody.
I disagree. I passionately disagree with that. You could get calls from New York and they would tell you, yes, he wins, but he's not a popular guy.
He is more loved than Saddam Hussein or Donald Trump.
But I think George Steinbrenner is a jerk. He's an a-hole. And even though he wins, he's still hated, and he's hated even with world championships.
No.
They boo George Steinbrenner even in Yankee Stadium when he's announced because they hate George Steinbrenner.
He's not in the category of Donald Trump or Saddam Hussein.
I don't think he's in the category of Saddam Hussein. Saddam. I don't think he's in the category of Saddam.
Saddam.
But he is definitely in the category of Donald Trump.
Oh, no. Donald Trump is much more hated than George Steinbrenner. Much more hated.
Maybe now, but I think in his day, George Steinbrenner was... There was a period of time when George Steinbrenner, back in the days where he would... they had the revolving door in the Yankees organization. He was much, much hated.
You know what?
Take it upstairs to the fat man.
I'm just going to try a number at random in New York.
Very good.
I picked one that was actually working. Hold on. And the first person we get on from New York, I'm just dialing in area code 212.
You should ask the question, do you like George Steinbrenner?
We're going to ask, who do you hate more?
Oh, okay.
Who do you hate more, Donald Trump?
You have reached a non-working number at Time Incorporated.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on.
Time Life Operator.
Because I don't have a New York phone book here.
Right.
Maybe we'll just get somebody at home. Who do you hate more?
Hello? How are you? I unfortunately cannot come to the phone today, but if you're calling about the George Steinbrenner Donald Trump question, I'm not sure I'd like to answer, but please remember to vote. Thank you, and have a good day.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna call Andy W. and get whoever's on the switchboard.
Okay.
Because there's a New Yorker.
That'll work.
Have I done that help you?
Yeah, hi, this is Don and Mike. Can you tell us, who do you hate more, George Steinbrenner or Donald Trump?
You have me on the air.
Yes,
yes, of course we do.
Oh, of course you do.
Who do you hate more, George Steinbrenner or Donald Trump?
I think Donald Trump is the ugliest man alive.
But who do you hate more?
I think George Steinbrenner is kind of cute.
Well, there's your answer, I think.
Okay. I don't like Donald Trump.
Thank you.
He thinks he's hot, and he's not.
How do you feel about George Steinbrenner?
He's cute.
Yeah.
See, not everybody hates him, Mike.
One person with your loaded survey question. I would like to get... I think if you're going to do a survey, you don't go to the receptionist who's listening to the show.
Listening to the show.
We call 10 people...
She's not listening to the show. It's
on
tape delay.
We call 10 people in New York and we ask them whether they like George Steinbrenner or not.
No. It's not if they like George Steinbrenner or not. It's which one do they dislike most?
No, it is not. I said that the question is jerks that have made it that are successful. Now, if you put it against who's less popular, I might even agree with you. But I will tell you that George Steinbrenner is not popular.
The next person I'll ask, do you like George Steinbrenner?
Hello,
this is the Don and Mike radio show on WNEW. Do you mind going on the air with us for a quick second?
Excuse me, I don't understand.
Yes,
perfect.
Do you like George Steinbrenner?
Oh, wait a minute.
Hello.
Yeah, okay, wait a minute.
Yes, I can wait just a moment.
And if it goes affirmative, you win 100%. I won't make you call anybody else.
Hello.
Oh.
He just hung up.
It didn't go well.
Who?
Who are you talking about?
It might have been Saddam Hussein. I don't know any of the phone exchanges in New York. So I'm just dialing at random.
Not bad. Good survey.
his feet.
All right, so the question should be,
do you like George Steinbrenner?
Do you like George Steinbrenner?
Gotcha.
Okay. And for the record, the girl at NEW couldn't be listening to the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we're on tape delay.
Still a loaded survey question. And we're still trying to see. Hello? Who is George Steinbrenner? Okay. Who is he? And if we get an answer, was it the person likes George Steinbrenner?
I'm sorry.
Yes?
I'll cut Tom Gavin's meat for him.
Still
at it. Not that I think I'm going to lose that bet.
Right. You're on.
Cut his meat.
Because you know he'll be eating beef.
Steak.
Oh, yeah.
Potatoes.
Leave your message after the tone.
No.
Oh, Christ.
No,
no one's home.
No one's home.
Oh, we only have time to try a couple more.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an awfully big city.
I'm stopped.
My God, what's wrong with people?
I don't even know what numbers I'm dialing.
The dial has been changed. The new number is area code 203.
No one's living.
Damn.
No one's living anymore. You would think it's the end of the day. There'd be people getting home from work. Oh, man.
Okay, one more, and that's got to be it. My phone's on. Right, hold on. 1-2-1-2. Goddamn phone. Here we go.
Thank you for calling Loan Pricing Corporation.
Can you try just one more?
All right.
Please. You gotta get at least one. Somebody. I mean, because really, this is it's an important question. Somebody's gotta be home.
All right. Do you like George Steinbrenner?
Last time.
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Okay.
All right, great. I have a question for you. We're broadcasting now, tape delay on WNEW in New York.
Uh-huh.
Do you like...
What station?
WNEW.
Who's this?
Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo.
Don!
Yes.
Don, it's Charlie!
Oh, my God.
You called me in my apartment in New York City. How are you doing today?
Hey, sir.
Well, I miss you guys. That's why I'm not here today. Because I'm not there today. Because I'm up in New York. I was in the marathon. I ran the New York City Marathon. I carry four people with me.
Don't you live in the same building as Ken Stevens?
Uh-huh. Yes, Mr. Stevens is very mean. He doesn't say hi to me anymore. I said, because I see him on the street, I go, hi, Ken! He just walks by and goes, oh, that's Charlie.
Hey, Charlie, do you like George Steinbrenner?
Yes, yes, I do. I do. I love George Steinbrenner. He owns the New York Yankees. I love him.
Please tell Mike this call doesn't count.
Why? Dad, you have a good day.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Who knew?
I guess we reached Charlie's apartment. We did.
Well, we got
Soho apartment.
Well, I got to cut Tom Gavin's meat now. It still counted.
No, that doesn't count, Mike. Doesn't count. I won't hold you to that.
Oh, God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Ms. Ike. What's happening?
Hello, please turn down your radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. A little too much rap, hip-hop, black music for you, huh, Don?
No, we actually thought it was our radio show that was on in the background.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just messing with y'all. But the most hated man in the world, you want to know who it is? Ken Stevens.
All right, no argument there.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
But we can all agree he has not hit life's lottery.
No, he sure has.
All right.
He sure hasn't, and neither has his wife, Roz. Time out, please. Are you choking on your water?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
We will be right back. You know, Tommy Hilfiger is supposed to be here today.
Where is he?
To put on a flatulence performance for us.
The Lucky Stevenses.
I don't know where he is. We'll check and see if he's here when we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. Ray, you know, most husbands like cuddling with their wives.
Oh, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, nobody likes that. Nobody. The only time a
likes cuddling is if he thinks it's going to lead to lower cuddling.
Better than a nice dab in the ass, the Don and Mike Show.
The phone. Hey, Barty.
Hey, Dad.
Hola. How was school today?
Fine.
You giving any thoughts to homecoming this weekend? All right, I got a thought for you.
What's your thought?
What about Lisa?
No.
No?
No.
She'd go with you.
What?
She'd go with you. She said she'd like to go.
I can't hear you.
Lisa said she'd like to go with you to your homecoming.
Well, the only thing is, I think I'd rather go with someone my own age. No offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but wouldn't it be cool, though, to go with a 24-year-old hottie like Lisa?
Lisa was curious that if she went, if there'd be a new dress in her future. Provided by Dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't see why not.
All right.
I don't see why. But listen, it's obviously Bart's decision.
Yes, it is Bart's decision.
Yes, it is my decision.
I will tell. Hey, Bart, I will tell you this, that when the idea came up, Lisa was kind of grinning from ear to ear. She liked the idea.
Well, I think I'm just going to find someone my own age.
Okay. All right. You know, that's your prerogative. I just thought, you know, you two had kind of a rapport going yesterday, and might be cool for you to walk in with her on your arm, but leave it up to you then.
Maybe whatever is at the end. There's another one later in the year.
Another one later in the year.
Way to leave your options open, buddy.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Okay. Well, I'll make sure she's primed and ready for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, the one later in the year?
The one later in the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the date. There's something coming in from.
The homecoming and prom. I'll take Lisa to the prom.
Very good.
Absolutely. All right, bud. You know, she's got a boyfriend.
What?
You know, she has a boyfriend.
I know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and it would, you know, I was thinking it would just be a way for you to impress your friends.
Right. And I guess I'll just impress them at prom if that's all right.
You guess you'll just what?
I'll impress them at prom if that's all right.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
All right, bud.
Okay.
All right, love you.
Love you too.
All right, how'd everything go today?
Fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just double checking. This was one of those weekends, like with, we said, what's the deal with the homework? Not a lot. Not a lot. Said, really? What do you have to do? Well, I had study hall today. This teacher was going to be out sick today. This teacher is moving away.
So it was kind of setting it up for a slow Monday?
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a slow day today?
Yeah.
Slow day today. All right. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
you know, well, Lisa will be disappointed, but I'll cheer her up by giving her some candy from the Steve Goldstein collection. One to a customer. Like maybe you'd like a Jolly Rancher candy.
Is this what he gave away for trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, well, he didn't. He gave away lots of variety. Uh-huh. He gave away Lemonhead candies.
Oh.
Those are good. Here's a mini Tootsie Roll. And, of course, the famous, you want a Snickers bar?
Yeah.
There you go.
The Mel-sized
bar. The fun size.
Mel-sized.
There you go. It's candy from the Steve Goldstein collection. Said he didn't have as many kids as he expected, so there was plenty of surplus. So he brought it in. There's a big bag of candy.
Now, when the kids came to Steve Goldstein's house this year,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that they each only got one item?
Well, you know Steve Goldstein, and I know Steve Goldstein. I didn't get a chance to ask Steve that.
I sure do know Steve.
But I'm curious if, you know, we were, I believe Michelle, one of our sales ladies, was back there. We were kind of mocking Steve's choice of candies.
I mean, one Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he had said one to a customer.
This is Steve.
Steve, this is Don and Mike.
Hi, Steve. Steve, I took the liberty of taking some of the candy that you were giving out on Halloween night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, listen, here's the question we have for you, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
When the youngsters came up to the Goldstein Mansion,
mm-hmm.
Were they... How did you dole out the candy? I don't want to make this a leading question. How did you dole it out?
I put the bowl out, and I said, take all you want.
Oh, you did?
Absolutely.
Oh, so all the bite-sized Snickers, then. And, you know, Steve, there are three demarcations of candy. There is full-size.
That's what we gave away.
There is fun-size.
And then
there's bite-size.
All right, now here was my philosophy.
And the Snickers, you cannot go cheaper.
So small. The Snickers in your candy bag, Steve, so small that it requires... Well, it's good because little fingers probably have an easier time opening.
You know what? Look at the little mini Tootsie Roll.
Ah, the mini Tootsie Rolls, yes.
Like the size of maybe a small cat turd.
Do I get to argue on my own defense, first of all? Mike, you were like, grab it as a candy. You couldn't...
Taken off. Steve, I will tell you, I have not enjoyed any of that candy, nor will I.
You have the Jolly Rancher, which incidentally is smaller than your standard
Jolly
Rancher.
And Jolly Rancher, usually a larger candy.
And the individually wrapped one lemon head. Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Go ahead, Steve.
What would stop you from taking 10 lemon heads?
Well, Steve, I'm sure you wouldn't exactly let someone come in there with a shovel. And you know how much it was, probably what, a handful, one handful. Come on,
you
be
can
honest.
Take whatever you wanted.
No, come on, be honest with me.
Be honest with you. Here's the truth. We bought 800 pieces of candy, and maybe had enough kids come by for 100 pieces of candy. I would have gladly handed out all 800 pieces of candy.
Now come on, be honest. When kids came to the door,
That's why you have so much left over, Steve. You didn't let them take
when kids came to the door, you gave them. You would toss in their bag one of the bite-sized Snickers.
Now let me ask you a question. Why would I do that? I'm brand new to the neighborhood.
Right.
Maybe, maybe some of my new neighbors could call in and attest to the fact that I.
Well, have you seen the prices of sugar? Have you seen the prices of sugar lately?
If you were brand new to the neighborhood, why wouldn't you just buy the full size? As to impress everyone in the neighborhood.
And if you really wanted to impress them, then you get the,
king size.
The king size candies. Don gives away full size at his house, Steve. Steve?
Yeah, I'm here.
We're just curious why you gave away such chintzy candy.
You really need a magnifying glass to see that candy, Steve.
I didn't get any complaints.
Well, now, what's a little kid going to say?
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Goldstein, come on now, cough it off.
You can do better than this, Mr. Goldstein.
In my neighborhood, sure.
All right, Steve. Well, these are very small pieces of candy.
Happy Halloween, Steve.
Come on in and get 10 of them and put them all together.
Yeah, he's got a whole bag of it. He's got a shopping bag full of it.
I'm just thinking about all the disappointed children.
Yeah.
In the Goldstein neighborhood.
I mean, the only thing that would be a step down from that, Steve, might be handing out that Chex Mix that somebody in Don's neighborhood handed out.
And they didn't even put it in bags. The kids just came around and someone just opened a bag of Chex and said, take a handful.
So it's effectively like a fine powder by the end of Halloween.
Right.
I'm writing that down for next year.
Mommy, Daddy, Mr. Goldstein ruined my Halloween.
Thanks for the tip, guys.
Mommy, Daddy, look how small this Tootsie Roll is. Seriously, Rob, what is that? Maybe... a quarter of an inch? Guy giving away Tootsie Rolls, a quarter of an inch.
Wow.
Size of a baby's penis. It's the size of the Tootsie Roll Steve Goldstein gave away.
I'm getting a headache. Oh, my God.
And where do you go to Midgetville to buy these tiny Jolly Ranchers? Look how small these Jolly Ranchers are. I mean,
Steve, you still there?
I'm here.
Yeah, all right, very good.
I mean, I know they have like big and tall stuff.
Midgetville.
But you got to go like to small and tiny.
Welcome to Small's Candy.
To get these varieties of candies. All right, Steve, well, that's not the way to impress the neighbors.
Well, you said you didn't get as many kids, and don't worry about getting too many next year either, Steve.
And you know what?
They'll
maybe
probably
it got around that we weren't giving away the big candy, and maybe that's why we didn't get that.
Yeah, they probably went two doors down so they could avoid the.
All
the
I can
Steve
tell you is
scene.
One family did show up twice.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? The kid goes out to the sidewalk. The dad says, "Let me see what you got from that house." And he goes, "Please go back and get more."
Hey, look! I got a full size Kit Kat, a full size Reese's. Here's some of my miniatures from Steve's house.
And go right back to Mr. Goldstein's house, and you get more. All right, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
It's very important. You got to keep up appearances.
Of course. You work for WJFK, Steve.
Always go full size.
Full size. Full size. You won't have to worry about bringing 800 or 900 pieces of candy in.
Steve, what time did you arrive this morning at work?
6:30.
And what happened to that new plan with you being out the door at... wasn't it out the door by 5 or 5:30 every day?
That was when I was living in Baltimore, but now that I'm here, I can be out by 6, 10 of 6, and still make it home by 7.
So you'll be leaving by 6 o'clock this evening?
By 6 o'clock. If I'm not, please come in and just grab me.
You know I will.
You always do.
So you work, no kidding, you work a 12-hour day?
No, that's 11 and a half.
That's much better.
All right, Steve. Well, take some time off, sir.
Half a day.
Thanks for bringing in the candy, Steve.
Come back in.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Yes, yeah. Steve Goldstein.
And he's like, you know, he's having a real busy day, too. He's having meetings, tons of meetings back there.
Jesus, tiny. Look how tiny the Snickers is.
Remember, there's king size, full size, fun size, and bite size. Maybe next year we'll have a better Halloween if they can get that candy smaller.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Lords of the radio.
Hi there.
Hello.
You know, I would tell you something, seriously. You know when you play Monopoly?
Right.
You know the little guys you move around the board?
Right.
They're bigger than the pieces of candy that Steve Goldstein gave away this year.
Steve already bought the candy he's giving out next year. Everyone that comes by gets a red hot.
A single red hot.
One red hot.
One single red hot.
Happy Hello. Halloween, little boy.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Actually, maybe what Goldstein could do next year is take those little... Remember those little candies you get on those strips of paper?
What?
Those little fun dots?
Yeah.
He could cut those little pieces of paper off and give each kid a little fun dot, a little swatch of paper.
Yeah, but you have to keep it on the paper, right? So
right,
you
exactly.
Get your own individual piece of paper with a fun dot on it.
I'm from the same school of thought that you guys are from. We do a segregated candy sort of disbursement at our house for Halloween. Any kid in our local court sort of area gets a full-size candy bar plus a handful of other candy that we have for other kids. In addition to, like, this year we gave them, like, Halloween flashlights, all kinds of other stuff.
So you discriminate against kids from outside the neighborhood.
Anyone from outside our immediate sort of, it's broken down into courts, broken down by letter. So anyone outside, like, O&P where we live, still gets a handful, but they don't get the big-size candy. They keep
Hold on, you're just as bad as Goldstein.
How do you know the kids are wearing costumes?
And why discriminate against kids that aren't from your neighborhood?
No, because it keeps some of the kids that aren't from our neighborhood. They're the ones that come by, and you don't see them half the time the rest of the year. They don't do anything in the neighborhood.
Right. So they're kids.
You're as bad as Goldstein.
They're kids that can't trick or treat in their own neighborhood, so they come to yours.
Here's next year at Steve Goldstein's house. Ding dong, trick or treat. Hi, I'm Mr. Goldstein from WJFK. Please enjoy this grain of sugar.
That's right. I was going to say sprinkles. You know the kind you put on ice cream.
A Jimmy. A single Jimmy.
Enjoy your single Jimmy. Hope it's not a warm evening.
I love Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I brought my kid by his house Halloween, and he held out a lollipop that my kid just licked it.
Wow. This is great. It's almost gone, kids.
What is it? This might not be fracturingly funny.
Oh, it is.
But I guarantee it's a pissing off Steve Goldstein.
Oh, absolutely.
Big time.
Oh, it kills me, though.
Back in his office.
Lick a lollipop.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Radio God.
Hi there.
Long-time listener.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, I'm not on the candy subject, but I thought of a very successful jerk.
Oh, all right. Okay, go ahead.
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon is not universally hated.
No, Ed has his fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I despise him. He has no talent.
Yeah, but you see, people in show business, it's very difficult to find the jerks because they do have their following.
Right, and I mean, I agree with you. Ed McMahon is worthless, but I'm sure there are some people who consider themselves Ed McMahon fans.
No, that huge star, you know, star search, right.
Right, and how does he get to keep the gig with Dick Clark every year? It's because they must do some survey.
Seniors go mad for him.
That says people like Ed McMahon. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello.
You're on the air.
What's happening?
Hi.
Hey, you know, I was figuring the one thing Bart's ever looking is Lisa's got his driver's license because he didn't want to ride with you this time. He wanted the limo and everything else.
No, he's not getting a limo.
Right.
I know, but he wanted to not ride with you. But
yeah, Lisa could pick him up.
So, yeah.
He's All right. Maybe he's listening and he'll give that some thought. Hello, Don and Mike.
You could enjoy this with the sun because it's a different thing, isn't it, with the sun? I mean,
sure.
If the similar thing was just like Charlie Broyhill can take one of my daughters to the prom.
He's not a chance.
You know, I'd be going down to the local gun store.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hi.
Ed, you're doomed, man. You're so doomed. From earlier with this thing with the refrigerator, this is just a nightmare for you. You might as well buy a new house. You're going to have to have new appliances to match the refrigerator. Then we're going to have new furniture in the living room so that everybody that comes over to see the new appliances in the kitchen can sit on new stuff.
Okay, don't you think I already know this? Thank you. Goodbye.
Sounds like a guy that's probably gone through the similar thing.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey there, how are you guys this afternoon?
He's talking about the fact that my wife is orgasmic over our brand new refrigerator. I'm going to be giving away the old refrigerator on tomorrow's episode.
Yay. That's fantastic.
I'm going to be giving away the old refrigerator, which has done nothing wrong, has served us great.
And we're going to give away the way we did the last time we gave away a refrigerator?
Yes.
Who can stay in the longest without passing out?
Hello.
Howdy. Listen, I heard you guys talking earlier about Disney stories. We got time for another Disney story tonight?
No.
Too bad it's a pedophile Disney area.
See, but I have no way of verifying if it's a true Disney story or not.
It's in the papers here in Richmond.
Well, then fax it to us.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Hold on, Lisa. We'll give you the fax number.
Is that kind of great, too, where the guy hates us now?
Great. I will. Jerks. I mean, just when you're talking about pedophilia.
Right.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? This is pedophilia with you.
Well, and the Predator guy, I think, is responsible a little bit for that. You know, we got a little wary of the stories when the Predator guy told his story that never got, you know, got to the end.
I just want to make sure if it's Disney and pedophilia, that it's really in a newspaper.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with this Goldstein guy, but the rest of us Jews gave out normal-sized candy.
Yeah, I know. He's giving all Jews a bad name.
That's horrible.
Yeah, he is.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you another guy who's top of the heap is Mark Schott.
A guy? That's right. That guy is top of the heap.
Mark Schott. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Trust me, whatever they gave out is nothing compared to what my kids got. My kids actually received from one house an individually wrapped Jelly Belly jelly bean.
Wrapped?
Individually wrapped, I kid you not. And it had the flavor written on it. Jelly Belly jelly bean. I had four kids, and each one of them received one Jelly Belly jelly bean.
Do they live in Goldstein's neighborhood?
You would also think so, wouldn't you?
And listen, hold on. I'm also shocked to find out. Are you telling me Steve Goldstein is Jewish?
No, absolutely not.
That would be news to me.
And me too.
It Steve Goldstein is Jewish.
Absolutely.
Oh, look, you got a Jelly Belly jelly bean.
You know, I still think the Chex Mix, though. There's something about not having a sugar product.
That's the topper.
Absolutely.
You win on that one. You're right.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day.
The only thing that might top that might be like individual slices of apple.
Hello, Donna Mike.
It is Halloween at Steve Goldstein.
The native children parade in their homemade costumes, hoping for a king size, full size, or even fun size candy bar from the Goldsteins.
As the children leave the Goldstein house, no one can dry their rivers of tears as they are so disappointed to receive the bite sized Snickers.
Child after child, drowning in tears, Casper the Friendly Ghost, Batman, Power Rangers, Powder Puff Girls, one after the other, crying, "Mommy, Steve Goldstein gave me a bite-sized candy for Halloween."
Halloween has lost all of its fun. The children are crushed.
Very nice, though. Were you playing that live?
Yeah,
hello?
I think it was. I mean, he's gone.
The guy never stays on with us long enough.
Like the wind.
I like that guy. Time out. Oh, listen. Great story about Arnold Schwarzenegger. When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What they can expect from Jingle All the Way is a hilarious movie, a movie where they will be able to laugh from the beginning to the end. It will be great entertainment. They will walk out of the theater and say, "I'm so angry that I can't get another ticket right away because I want to see it a second time. And there's a long line here."
The smell of their own farts. Don and Mike.
That goes along with the music.
Yeah, I'm sorry about this music. I have no idea what I'm playing here. Obviously, it's the wrong cut.
Now the like fans.
We like something up-tempo out of the commercial.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Violates the upbeat nature of this program.
Fisher. Anal Fisher.
Huh?
Hold on, wrong one.
Thought it was a little Jackson Brown there for a second.
What did I want? I guess I wanted this one. The Wallflowers?
Yeah.
Is that a good intro?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I wanted. Hey, put the thing back in the machine, Robbie. Thank you.
They go together. together like rubber balls and liquor. Don and Mike.
There you go. It's all about momentum. That's more like it. Okay. Here's this article about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has a new movie coming out called The Sixth Day.
Right. I've seen the trailers for it. Actually, looks like a pretty good Arnold movie.
He plays himself and his clone in this movie.
A lot of, you know, a lot of good Arnold where the people that like to look at Arnold just because he's dumb will enjoy him looking through the window just like, that is me.
Listen to these quotes in this story. He's doing all kinds of publicity. He says, I have the same energy level I had when I was a young man. I work all night. I play chess to stay awake. I do stunts the same way. When he was a power lifter, he looked forward to the next 20 chin-ups because he knew his latissimus muscle would get stronger. Mm-hmm. He knew his crawling in movies in the jungles on his elbows and knees would get sore and full of dirt. And he would say to himself, wow, that's going to look great on the screen. Now we're going to get down to the interesting part of this article.
Okay.
Where we hear about Arnold and how much he makes for every movie. For the movie, Sixth Day, he's making $25 million.
Oh, my God.
The quote is, I don't have to do anything again. I have so much money.
Way to go, Arnold. Arnold, you might want to keep a low profile on that.
Now, Arnold's kids know very well that their Austrian-born dad is a star, and their mom is on TV.
Right.
Here's the quote from Arnold. But they don't have a clue what that means. They think every parent has a unique job like that in Los Angeles. Lots of parents do. To keep the kids grounded, Arnold says, we try to mix the play dates. So they have the gardener's children come over and kids they meet on the beach. You know, ordinary people.
Oh, my God, Arnold, what an idiot.
What a prick.
Oh. He is. He's just so totally out of touch.
Arnold? Arnold, this is Maria.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Listen, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I didn't want.
The children need to get out with regular people.
What do you mean, get out with regular people? What are you talking about? I don't understand.
How about if I call the gardener and see if he can bring his children over to play?
Nine. I don't want to. Hey, hold on. I was just thinking, and now my mind says that would be good. That would look good for the movies. I could talk about that in the articles. I could say that we've got all the good, normal, ordinary people coming out, and it'd make me look like a good guy. Okay. Then they'd go to see my picture.
All right, here you go, Andy.
That's great.
Here's more from Arnold. More quotes. And this is from a real article, not from like a tabloid or anything.
He's so out of it.
Yeah. Arnold notes, when you see my house, it's like way below my means. We live like totally normal people.
Oh.
My house only has 9,000 square feet.
That's funny.
And I bought the neighboring 6,000 square foot home for a gym and offices with a pool table where I smoke my stogies.
There. That's where I go, into the house next door to smoke the stogies with the ordinary people.
Hey, listen, 9,000 square feet. That's a big house, right?
That's a huge house,
right. Okay?
That's a palace. That's a big house.
Well, he says that...
I know in L.A. you get those 20,000 square footers, but no, that's an extremely large home.
The quote is, the house has 9,000 square feet. When you see my house, it's like way below my means.
See, in a way, he's just bragging again because he wants to say, this is below my means. I've only got 9,000 square feet.
Keeping a relatively modest home is one way he stays rich. I like to know that no matter what happens to my career, I have enough money.
Yes, I don't want a big one. Just give me something with enough space, and I'll buy the one next door for my office and gym.
I have enough money. I don't have to sell my art. I don't have to sell my cars. Maria doesn't have to be nervous about it.
That's great. What would they have to be nervous about? Doesn't he get $20 million every time he makes a movie?
Uh-huh. Let me see.
I'm not worried.
Art?
What art does he sell?
I've got the dogs playing poker. That's great. And the Red Skeleton clown pictures.
Now, Arnold, we know you paint pottery. Is that what you're talking about?
No, this is the real artwork.
Really, you paint?
Yeah, I've got lovely artworks of blacklight posters.
The tiger?
I am.
Elvis pictures?
Yeah, that's good. It's great. It keeps me in touch with the ordinary people, like the gardener's children.
Hey, you know what's amazing about this? Besides the fact that he'd be pompous enough just to say in an article that, yeah, I have my kids play with the gardener's kids.
I maintain it's still the lack of grasp of the English language. He has no idea that he's coming across as an a-hole, because if he knew that, he wouldn't say that. Yeah. This is just Arnold being completely out of it, thinking he's real savvy.
To keep my kids grounded, I try to mix their play dates so they have the gardener's children come over and kids they meet on the beach. You know, ordinary people.
Yeah, because when he can't get Chelsea Clinton to come over and play.
It says,
they're the ordinary kids.
Arnold is always there for his family. You know, the thing is, if you're going to do an article like this, wouldn't you have a third person saying these things, like a publicist or a friend saying, he's a great guy, he hangs out with normal people.
You know why they're laughing?
Why?
Because I'm in the scene. Remember that? That's the real Arnold. Yeah. The real Arnold you get is the really, like, loud dogging, do you understand what I am?
Hold on.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let me find that save. Here it is. This is where he's talking to a bunch of little kids.
And he's serious. He's just, you know, he's out of it.
For Jingle All the Way.
Let me explain to you. When you see someone laughing and you don't know why that is, it's very simple. Because I'm in a shot. There has to be no other reason. Okay? So can you get your acting together now? And laugh with us? Because it's a very funny scene.
Talking to a bunch of little kids.
And he's trying to be silly and goofy with the kids, but that's the real Arnold you're getting there a little bit, too. Hey,
I'm a good guy. I keep my kids grounded. My kids.
Let me see. He's always there for his family.
Yeah.
Up for hours the previous night because Maria's mother, Eunice, was hospitalized with an infection after a pancreas
surgery. I'm a good guy. Put that in the paper.
His wife knows when there, and this is a quote, when there's any problem, I'm there. She feels there's true leadership in the home, not a wishy-washy mind.
I'm a leader, like my father was.
Well, your father's a Nazi?
There you go. That's a rumor. It's not true.
Maria thinks the world of me.
Hey, the Kennedy clan.
Because I know what I want in life.
Yes, yes. She likes my power. I know how to bench press lots of weight. And she knows that I'll be there for her. And that the kids will be grounded by playing with the kids that they pick up on the beach. Straight like a stray dog.
What a dope he is.
I don't have to sell my art. There's no reason. Look at how much money I make for a picture.
That's right. Let me see. Here was a quote. Asked, in fact, if he's worth $25 million a movie, he says he's been ripped off by the sixth day. Mm-hmm. There's two of me in there, and I only got paid for one.
There you go. Hey, you can imagine, seriously, you're sitting around, say you're even in his Hollywood circle of friends, which are probably just ass-kissers anyway, but they sit down at the table, and he goes, hey, that was a good meal. Did I mention I got more than I need? I got more money than I ever need.
Can you imagine sitting down with anyone who would, if it was even true, that would say that?
I'll never have to work another day in my life. I got more than I ever need. Yeah, it's good to be me. It's great to be king.
Yeah, let me see. At his house, it's like way below our means. We live like totally normal people. 9,000 square feet.
I could get a much bigger house. I could have a big house, H-A-U-S, boom lot. I could have a ski house, alpine house, with lederhosen, meet lots of gingerbread. And the house is big for Arnold.
Yeah, you know, and all these quotes are first-hand quotes.
Right.
I like to know, no matter what happens to my career, I have enough money.
I got enough because I got the art on the walls.
I don't have to sell my art. I don't have to sell my cars. Maria doesn't have to be nervous about it.
That's right. I got more than I'll ever need. Don't you wish you were me? Don't you wish you were Ian and Arnold?
What a dick.
It's great. You know, I do believe in amassing a small fortune. And then basically I can tell the world that I've got plenty of cash on hand. And I won't have to sell my art.
Okay, oh, hold on. Here we go. Arnold says his buddies love the virtual girlfriend in the movie Sixth Day. Whatever you do is okay with her, so she would be the dream girl for me. Not Arnold. I believe in the real thing, he says, crediting his wife of 14 years with their marital success. I can take a little credit, but Maria's the one. To be with me is not easy. You cannot change the mind as much anymore.
Yeah. I'm a real pig-headed, thick-headed man.
Yeah, you're all complicated, Arnold.
I'm a complicated guy. She's a saint. And she knows to show me on a regular basis my favorite body part.
What's that?
The ass. Yeah. Show me the good punta. Yeah. That's great. You know why they're laughing?
Why?
Because I'm in the scene. So can we have a good time? Because it's a funny scene.
We try to mix the play dates so we have the gardener's children come over and the kids they meet on the beach, the ordinary people.
How was your chocolate cake? Thanks for having dinner here. Did I mention I've got more money than I'll ever need? Thank you, Shane.
Hello, Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Hello, Major Hochstetter.
I served with your father in World War II.
Ah, you two are a leader like Daddy. Fantastic.
I understand you have more money than you will ever need.
That's right, but a very modest home. Only 9,000 square feet, but I bought the house at 6,000 square feet next door to use as a closet.
And to keep your children grounded, you bring over the gardener's children to play with them.
That's right, Major Hochstetter. That's why, and I let them also pick up kids on the beach and bring them over for a play date, huh? You understand?
Jawohl.
Jawohl.
Your father was a great man.
That's great.
He served the Third Reich well.
That's fantastic. I hope you had a good time at Stalag 13.
How much are you getting paid for this movie?
I'm getting ripped off. Because there are two of me. Because there's the cyber me, and then there's the real me. But I've got more money than I'll ever need. I'm making $25 million for the picture.
I hope you never have to sell your art.
I won't, because I've got so much money, and I live so modestly. And Maria thinks I'm a good guy because I'm there, and I'm a born leader. And I'm so stupid.
Your father was a board leader.
Yes, he was. That's right, in the Reich.
What a great article.
Oh, amazing. Man.
What a great article.
I'm a good guy.
And not in a tabloid. In the USA Today.
Right. Real paper.
Look at that. What a dope he is.
Yeah, I have a son that is dying for playing with his father. He's dying to have the latest of the toys. And he's talking about this Turbo Man doll.
Turbo.
And I play one of his fathers and husband that is too busy.
That is too busy.
Welcome, everyone. Enjoy your turkey dinner at my relatively modest home.
You're lying, Arnold. This is not a relatively modest home. Be honest. This is 9,000 square feet of decadence.
Ah, come on now, Major Hochstetter. My father and I wouldn't like that. It's way below our means. I'm making $25 million for the picture. I don't have to do anything again.
I hope you don't have to sell your cars.
I have too much money. Don't you wish you were me, Major Hochstetter?
Every day.
Dankeschön. Enjoy your Lieberhosen.
Look at that shot. Now that's what I call acting.
Acting.
There he is.
That's great.
All right, that's the Arnold story.
Dankeschön.
We had a nice time at your house, Arnold.
Yeah. Hey, do you know how much money I got? More than I'll ever need. Hope you had a good time. Now go back to the garden. Flip my bushes.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you all so sure Godzilla is dead.
Angel, come on.
Don staunchly opposed to tan cake pities. The Don and Mike Show.
Tell me what you think. What Charlie's Angels movie kicked some ass this weekend.
Ever. Yeah, you won your bet with Stop, so you get the pie in the face.
Everybody that I know who saw it loved Charlie's Angels, said Bill Murray, funny as hell, and that the special effects were better than The Matrix, that they were similar to The Matrix, wow, but even better than The Matrix.
Good.
And that movie, The Legend of Homo Vance.
Badger Vance. Or as Ann Curry said this morning on the Today Show, The Legend of Badger Vance.
That movie only made $12 million, which means Charlie Stossel has lost that bet with me, and he'll be getting a pie in the face on Wednesday's show. Tommy Hilfiger did show up.
Oh.
He's going to come in and give us a little farting exhibition now.
Right.
And I'd like to point out that on tomorrow's show, we will have complete erection coverage.
Yes, we know our way around the erection, I think, more than anybody else.
In case you just are tuning in late, I am going to vote for Gore.
Wow.
I'm still rooting for Bush.
Yes, but I'm glad that in your personal life you have shown the good judgment to go with Gore.
And I still think that Bush is going to win.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm going to win the bet with Tommy Gavin. But I couldn't be an honest guy and do the show and lie to you and tell you that really, when I really thought about it, when I got to go in the booth tomorrow, I'm going to vote for Gore.
Now, have you been contacted by any of the Republican Party faithful, the people that have brought you all the good stuff?
No, I have not.
As I mentioned before, you put yourself in a pretty interesting win-win situation
here. Well, if they do call me, I'll tell them, listen, I'm still publicly backing Bush.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I do think he's going to win, and I think I'm going to win the election with you. However, I really, after a lot of soul searching, just decided.
I think you're still publicly predicting Bush will win.
Yes, but I am.
You're voting for Gore, though.
Going to vote for Gore.
Good. Well,
absolutely.
I never get tired of hearing that.
And I wanted to show you a gift, a birthday gift I just received from Gladys Kravitz.
Hey, the lovely Gladys.
About my birthday was about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
When what she did was she got a
what is that?
A Cadillac hood ornament.
Wow.
And she had it put on a gold chain.
Hey, like a gold chain for what? Like somebody with a 15-inch neck?
Yeah, Gladys, in case you're listening, my neck size is 17.
Doesn't the average guy need a 22-inch necklace?
I don't know.
That's tiny.
It's like something that Puff Daddy would wear. I know that's right. The thought that she had with this thing. You know, my hands are so big, I can't even get this.
The lovely Gladys.
The goddamn thing open. But I don't think there's a chance that I can get this thing around my neck.
Well, you can have a longer chain. It's certainly not going to get over your neck.
Yeah, right.
Okay, you want me to open it for you?
Yeah, if you could, please. Thank you. And while Mike is opening that up, where is Tommy Hilfiger? Bring us Thomas Hilfiger, the newest talent find of the Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Ah. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, see, there's not a chance that fits around my neck.
It might you might actually wear it as a choker.
Not a chance. But Gladys, thank you, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I have a
very thoughtful.
Now.
She's a very thoughtful lady. Yes,
thank you very much. Tommy Hilfiger, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Discovered on the Don and Mike Show about a month ago when we were having our talent competition.
Yes, this is a truly talented individual.
Know that you told Lisa that you were coming in today. Glad you decided to show.
Traffic was a little crazy.
Gotcha. And I understand that you have a guest farter with you also.
I have my other half, my dynamic duo. We call him Jason the Jet Engine.
Now, explain to me, you told me briefly out in the lobby, but explain to me why he is called Jason the Jet Engine.
Well, Jason has his fart, what he's known for is it sounds like a jet engine. Huh. He builds up and just everything comes all at once, and it's so loud and powerful, it sounds like a jet engine.
Wow.
All right, Tommy Hilfiger, bring in your friend.
Bring in Jason the Jet Engine.
Let's bring in Jason the Jet Engine, and along with Tommy Hilfiger, who we are going to be spotlighting
right at
our next Las Vegas-style show.
Yes, it's going to be fantastic.
You know, it's very rare that we meet someone with this kind of talent, and we immediately...
This is a prodigy, Don.
We want to put him in our stable of stars.
Absolutely. We want to exploit his talents for all it's worth.
Okay, now where is...
Here comes
this is
Jason the Jet Engine.
The Jet Engine. Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
How are you guys doing?
Hi, I'm Don. That's Mike.
Nice seeing you, Jason. I met you out in the lobby.
And And guys, now, do you do this in tandem, or is it one guy?
We do this in tandem, and then we'll probably take turns and do it at the same time.
Okay, do you need to be
both?
Do you need to be on the floor on your back?
On the floor again.
Okay.
Now, like I asked you the last time, I know yours are usually odor-free. Jason, the jet engine, are yours usually odor-free also?
Usually,
he says. And I know a lot of people, the last time you were on the show, were asking, are these real farts?
Oh, these are absolutely real.
Yes, 100% real, which is why we enjoyed it so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now
we give you
Tommy Hilfarter and Jason, the jet engine.
Back a little bit.
These guys can actually take in air where it usually comes out.
They're on their backs now with their legs all the way behind their heads.
Let's listen.
Sorry. Now, Jason the jet engine is getting into a... Is that Jason the jet engine?
Yeah.
See, it's an amazing talent. That these guys, and that's Tommy Hilfarter, who's still just farting. They just bend their legs behind their heads, and they just fart on demand.
Was that you, Tommy?
Yep.
All right, now, Jason, what do you got for us?
Right.
Here we go, back with Jason. All right.
All right, I got one for you.
Okay. Now, Tommy, you seem to be having a little trouble today.
Yeah, I am.
Really?
I tell you what, these guys are limber, though, like those Chinese girls I saw on the Cirque du Soleil.
Absolutely.
Cirque du Soleil.
There's a little bouquet over here, too. We have any spray? Oh, Jesus, there's some serious bouquet.
Body form is that they're really on their backs, and they're holding their feet with their hands all the way by their heads.
Tommy, you having a little trouble today?
All right, Jason's going to give us one now.
I think somebody hit mud.
Hold on, we need, let's mic Jason. He's got a big one for us.
Okay, here we go.
Isn't Dude Jet Engine? Hold on.
Dude Jet Engine.
Jason?
Yeah.
Now we're waiting. This is going to be...
What are you waiting for, Jason?
You got a lot of air in there right now?
Really?
And Tommy's still on the ground.
Tommy's having trouble today. Tommy, is this... you usually have a dry spell like this?
Sometimes.
Really? Okay.
All right, there goes...
We're waiting.
Jason the jet back on his back.
Is that you trying again, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm trying.
You're not going to hurt yourself, are you?
Don't poop.
Just don't. Does that ever happen?
Yes, it does.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's a famous for it.
You're famous for that happening? He must be very proud.
All right, here goes Jason the jet again.
Do jet engine.
Don't be nervous. I think there's a lot of pressure in many areas here.
All right, hold on.
They're both getting up and patting their stomach. You guys look like the biggest idiots doing that.
We're on cool.
Now, we understand you guys do this at parties all the time, right?
Yes, we do.
Where people get bombed and they just sit around and you guys roll around on the floor and fart.
Yeah, pretty amazing that one guy can do this, much less two guys.
We do it on microphones.
All right.
My friend's got a set up in the basement and we can vibrate the drum.
Right, okay, we're still waiting for that big jet fart.
All right.
Was that you, Tommy?
That was Jason.
All right. They're just writhing around on the floor right now.
Feet in the air.
Trying to get air. And I'm going to guess it was Jason the jet engine that... We had a little stink factor.
Cirque du Bouquet.
And they're talking to each other, coordinating their attack.
Looks so queer.
Oh, there you go. That sounded deep, boys. Still trying to get the air in there?
Yeah, I'm clogged.
You're clogged. I don't like that too much. That's a little scary. Jason, are you the one that's clogged? Tommy, are you clogged?
Yeah.
All right. It's stuck up in your stomach.
This is always funny until somebody loses a colon.
This has not been as good as the last appearance by Tommy Hilfarter.
No, Tommy's an enormous disappointment today. And we're waiting on Jason.
Jason's not given us his trademark jet fart yet.
It's kind of like some days you have it.
Oh, really?
I understand.
Yeah, it's definitely a physical activity.
That would be Jason.
That's Jason the jet fart.
Jet fart. Jason jet fart.
waiting.
Tommy?
Hold on. We'll get one.
Okay, Tommy's going to get one now. Here we go.
They're working hard.
They're working their asses off.
You should see these guys.
So to speak. We're just waiting.
I get the impression with all the air that they're bringing in, which is the way they do this.
Hard to expel it.
That at some moment, this is all like probably like halfway home in the car.
Yeah, and when during the talent show, when I got out of here, I was on fire.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys want to like run around for a minute?
I'm a grunt over here.
Okay, Jason, you got one?
Oh, it's right in my stomach.
It's right in his stomach.
It's almost ready to come out.
The air is in his stomach. I can tell, gentlemen, your parents must be very proud.
They are.
Absolutely.
Very proud.
All right, guys, we can only give you about another minute to perform and give us some of those great farts.
Jason, the jet engine, on his back right now. Tommy Hilfarter is poking his stomach.
Poking.
As if to try... Oh.
Was that Jason?
We're getting nothing like the show we got a month ago.
No, I'm amazed. You know, if you get someplace when you're supposed to be there, usually it
that's
works.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Although it is funny watching these guys lay on their
they're
back.
They're trying like hell, ladies and gentlemen.
Pull their heads all the way, the hands all the way over their head. The legs, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Held by the hands.
They're trying.
They came to play. Oh, dear.
Can anybody fart?
Oh, I'm so stuffed.
Ooh, that sounds very, very like mud. Oh.
All right, I'm going to have to call this a failure today.
Oh. Miserable failure.
Oh,
a failure by Tommy Hilfarter and Jason the Jet.
Gentlemen, we're
sorry.
Extraordinarily disappointed.
Guys, listen, you're welcome back anytime.
Absolutely, but when you're ready to go, when you're ready to play.
But you got to come back when you got your farts ready.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That's all right, Tommy. We know you tried hard. Yeah, we know both you guys were working very hard.
It happens to the best of them.
Can I give my plug again?
Sure.
On a serious note, for people with winter blues, contact the Sunbox Company at sunboxco.com. Sorry.
Okay, but
sunboxco.com.
Technically, now you owe us some great farts.
I do owe you great farts.
Okay.
And for the next show you have, you will be very impressed.
Jason, you don't have anything else in you?
It's all stuck right here.
It's all stuck right there.
When we get out in the lobby, that's probably when it's going to come out.
Well, listen, why don't you just go way back with Lisa, and we're just going to go start the news with Buzz, and if you guys got a great one, just come running in and get on the floor.
We shall.
Okay,
very good.
Thank you. All right, but then don't leave, guys.
Yeah, because we want to, I mean, all that air that was brought in, we want it to be expelled.
Tommy Hilfarter and Jason the Jet Engine.
Very good.
Unable to give us the grade A farts that they gave us the last time they were
here. The last time Tommy Hilfarter was in here, it was an incredible performance.
Non-stop.
Yeah. He just never stopped, and then today there was not a sound out of his bung.
They didn't have the game asses on today.
Buzz, we'll leave him back in the green room with Lisa.
Okay.
Maybe Lisa can massage the prostate.
Absolutely. Manipulate the prostate.
See if she can coax something out of them, and then Buzz will break into the news and comment.
Right.
If they do have a decent fart for us, and it's time for Buzz right now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
right,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
You're about to.
Me. He made it up.
Your lead story has to be how disappointed we are in Tommy Hilfarter.
Nope, my lead story is on election eve, Don switches his vote to Gore.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Buzz.
Stay tuned for
everybody.
News and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
That was very professional.
Is that your Al Gore?
That's it, Don. I'm speaking to you because I want you to know how professional it is.
I still think you're going to lose tomorrow.
I think you're right.
But I'm voting for you. Hey, GW.
It's good to see you, Don.
GWI.
How are ye?
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
DJs who love BJs. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We do. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what happened to those guys?
What guys?
The Hilfarter and his buddy.
You know what? I don't know. I'm terribly disappointed. I didn't want to say anything to their face.
They had a dry hole. They had two dry holes.
I guess, yep, they just didn't bring their A games, I guess.
their ASS game.
Exactly.
You know, when Tommy Hilfiger was on the show before,
right?
I was rolling.
I mean, it was slap nuts funny.
I really expected him to produce, and it was absolutely nothing, which is highly unusual.
What can you say? They came up on the short end of the end.
I'll tell you, Tommy, if you listen, here's the problem. He came in with like a large group of guys. Last time he was kind of flying solo.
Yeah.
I think there were little distractions today. You know, it just, if he focused a little bit more on the task at hand.
I mean, they had called last week when we were in New York. They wanted to arrange a chance to come back on.
Right.
Put on the farting exhibition. Maybe he can save this. He's in the back room right now.
That's right.
If he gets a good one, he'll come in during the news and the comments.
Help yourselves. Get a good one.
I have to wonder what Coach North Turner would say about this failure to perform.
I just see a lot of people, a variety of people are doing it.
Yeah, like that.
It's time for news now with Guy Birdley. Buzz tonight is sponsored by Best Buy. At Best Buy, you'll find the latest technology to help you have more fun with your time. Turn on the fun at Best Buy.
Yay.
Now is Guy Birdley.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, here it is, election eve, and as you may have heard earlier, Don has decided to change his vote after supporting George Bush all this time. He now says he'll vote for Al Gore.
But I still support Bush.
In terms of your bet, especially, and you're still predicting that he will win as well.
Yes, but I am going to vote for Gore, and I had to tell you that because I am a man of conscience.
An honest guy.
And you will be forming your own third party. That will be the Have Your Cake and Eat It Too party.
Hey, listen, that is not the way.
I'm kidding.
Not the way that I planned.
I'm kidding.
We're just happy you came around.
You know, I could have just voted for Gore and
told no one
and been quiet about it.
That's right.
But I'm voting for Gore tomorrow. Let you know what happens for sure
this way on
tomorrow's episode.
This way tomorrow, whichever way it goes, in both camps, you're a winner.
Yeah. It's funny how it worked out.
And
that
perhaps
way.
A hero.
I swear to God, it wasn't on purpose, though. I'm not that smart.
George W. Bush was urging voters today, supporters, to take their friends to the polls tomorrow, while Al Gore was visiting 15 campaign appearances in 11 states. They say it all comes down to turnout, or as President Clinton put it, the people who want it bad enough will win. The president yesterday pointed out that there are 20 states in which the gap in the polls between the two main presidential candidates is just 2 points. George W. Bush's previously secret drunk driving arrest seems to have changed no one's mind. What remains to be seen is what effect it might have on the people who have said they're undecided. Newsweek says Bush's people had known about the case for 4 years and pleaded with the candidate to admit it before it could come out at a bad time, like 5 days before the election.
And Ralph Nader is spending the night before the election out cruising gay bars.
Newsweek says Bush refused to follow that advice. Interesting, I read something that I hadn't given any thought to before about Ralph Nader, is that although he could throw the presidential election to George W. Bush,
he may
have the opposite effect on the senatorial races, because the people who go to the polls to vote for Nader, it's expected, will vote Democratic in terms of their Senate choices.
Oh, he's a kookala.
And now a look at the wild and wacky in this election.
Wild.
In Arkansas.
Wild, wacky, Buzz. Wild, Buzz, you're wild.
Wild.
In Arkansas, there's a candidate for Congress who promises to jump out of an airplane if elected.
Wild.
In Nevada,
without a parachute?
No, with, sadly, right. And with experience. In Nevada, a teacher's running for office on a dare from her sixth grade class. In Pennsylvania, a former lawmaker has to get permission from his probation officer before making campaign appearances. In New York City, an 81-year-old woman is on the ballot for a state Senate seat for the Bronx. She was one of the last to know this, since Republican organizers put her on the ballot without bothering to consult her first.
Incredible!
That is wacky.
In New Jersey, the lead singer of the Smithereens is running for Senate. He's spending less than 10% than his opponent, but at least he gives free concerts.
A girl like you.
In Baltimore, a lawmaker is being followed around by his estranged wife, who's been working for his opponent. In Ohio, a Senate candidate campaigns on roller skates.
Yeah, the guy from the Smithereens, they give good concerts. I understand. They have a lot of groupies that hang around them, too.
Do they?
Yeah. The last concert they gave, they were blown to smithereens.
In New Mexico, the Republican candidate for district attorney says he accidentally sent a love note to his opponent instead of his wife.
And Florida and Vermont have candidates who are running while they're behind bars. In Florida, one of those is a candidate for sheriff, which would put him in charge of the very jail he's doing time in.
I'm not going to believe this.
Amazing but true.
I really want to make sure.
Hey, Sheriff Ed.
Behind bars. And I appreciate your vote. I hope I... Thank you.
Vote for...
Hope I earn your trust.
Vote for Ed.
I think the wackiest one of all... is in Missouri, where you got the guy...
Oh, the widow?
Yeah, the governor, who was killed in a plane crash, and since he died...
Right.
His numbers have gone...
Through the roof.
Up and up and up. And I know that it's going to be like the Sonny Bono thing, where if he wins, his wife serves.
His wife will serve. They said they might challenge that, though.
But
right?
Still, that to me, that's the wackiest... that I've ever heard.
Just like rock stars.
The guy gets killed in a plane crash,
right.
And his numbers have never been higher.
Yeah, he's probably going to win election, and his wife will take his seat.
Every day since he died, his numbers have gotten better.
It's a huge sympathy vote. It's always worked for rock stars, and now, obviously, it works for politicians as well.
Gore should think about killing himself tonight.
There's still time. TV talk show host Rosie O'Donnell is going after the Gore vote, even if she had to put her job on the line to do it.
There she goes.
Today, Rosie a four-minute speech by
She's
Barbara.
Not disappointing like those guys on the floor. Listen to Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Rosie aired a four-minute speech by Barbara Streisand that was taped at a Gore campaign rally. Warner Brothers, which syndicates Rosie's show, didn't want to do it. But Rosie said she would not renew her contract if Warner blocked the speech. Rosie's contract is up for renewal in 2 months, and the show does well enough that Warner Brothers doesn't want to lose it.
Rosie. Oh, Rosie. Hi, Rosie.
Me. Rosie. Rosie.
Rosie. Rosie.
Yeah. Hold on, there's one good burp coming up.
Oh.
Nope. No. No.
There it was.
Is that the one?
That's the one I like.
Oh, yeah. Is the Tim McWilliams burp on there?
Do you have the Tim McWilliams burp?
That one? Yeah, hold on.
Okay. All right, hold on. There it is. Thank you. There you go. By popular demand, Mike.
You're the man. Maybe you've heard of the recent concerns about the risk of stroke from an over-the-counter drug. Today, the government's Food and Drug Administration put out a warning about the drug.
There's no need for alarm. You know, the people that have said... this medication causes strokes. Are just full of crap.
The drug is phenylpropanolamine, or PPA for short.
PPA.
Who said PP?
It's used in a wide range of medications, from Dexatrim to Triaminic.
It's okay.
The FDA says it will ultimately ban the drug. For now, it's just warning consumers and asking manufacturers to stop using it.
Fear mongers.
The drug can apparently cause strokes in people generally thought to be too young to have a stroke.
Hold on, Buzz.
You bet.
Hold on, Buzz. He'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me, and you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your families, too. Now let's talk about the game.
Dogs love cheese, and people love the Don and Mike Show.
I just had two wonderful encounters.
Really?
I was out in the lobby area. I got to see Johnny Cakes.
Right, that's always a pleasure.
Who I know takes the fantasy football as seriously as I do.
And to be honest with you, one of the more successful guys. Both you guys take it seriously. You prepare, you both have pretty good records this year.
Yeah, but it kills him that that I'm doing better than him. And I love it because he doesn't hide the fact.
That it kills him.
That it kills him, and that last night at about midnight, he found out that Trent Green had 430 yards passing.
And then you would win the pool once again.
Yeah.
How much money have you made this year on the fantasy league?
This is the fifth time, so I've won over $500.
Good God.
Already this year.
My
but Johnny's got a good team.
And you notice Jeff from Tech Radio isn't wandering the hallways today.
Huh.
I guess he's just ready to get knocked off. Knocked off by the former worst team in the league.
You're going to win your game tonight, Mike.
I'm looking forward to it.
And the other interesting bit of conversation I had was in the bathroom with Tommy Hilfarner and the jet plane guy. They're in there right now, and they made me laugh my ass off, no pun intended.
Right.
They're in there now with bad diarrhea.
Ah, well, like, then maybe it's glad. Maybe I'm glad they didn't do anything.
You know those tapes we have where it hits the bowl?
Where it's speckling the bowl?
Our Oprah tapes.
So they got some kind of problem. They both have it?
That's what it sounds like.
It's pretty nasty.
They're both in there just crapping.
Well, you know, when down there you can't control things, who knows?
This is by the ass, die by the ass.
So they, they're very concerned about the performance they put on today, and they're trying as hard as they can.
That's good.
To come in and give us some good quality farting.
Well, I hope they clean the pipes before they come in here again.
Here now, once again, is Guy Birdley.
Another day, another recall from the Ford Motor Company.
Hello, today, I'm Jack Nasser. Here's my latest blunder.
Today, Ford's recalling about 430,000 Mustangs.
Buzz?
Yes?
The jet plane guy's here.
All right, the jet engine. What's the, what's the full name again? The Jason the Jet Engine.
Jason the Jet Engine.
All right, Jason, go for it.
All right. All right, the J-Man. Here we go.
Right, on the floor, getting in position.
Moisture at the end there.
See, that's Thank better.
You. I could not wait.
Thank that's
Jason.
Better.
We gonna need, hey, Jason, are we going to need some Lysol?
I don't think so.
No.
All right, very good.
Odor free.
Good job, Jason.
How was the diarrhea in the bathroom? Was that you with the speckling? Well, was that you with the speckling? Come here, tell me.
Yeah, it kind of clogged us up a little bit. We were both in there.
Oh, really?
Had to relieve ourselves a little bit.
All right. I walked into the bathroom. Their shoes just sitting out in front of the stalls. These guys had taken their shoes off.
You always take your shoes off when you have to go to the bathroom?
It's more relaxing.
Interesting.
And
you know that Johnny, I heard them talking, speaking of Johnny Cakes, he takes his shirt off whenever he has to make a BM.
I've known that for a long time. He takes everything off.
Yeah,
George Costanza did that.
Fine.
Yeah, they take their clothes off. To,
what, in case you break a sweat? What?
I don't know. It's just to be more comfortable.
I put on a few layers before I do it.
A parka.
That's right. Hey, go get Cakes. I'd like to ask him how come he takes off all of his clothes.
I don't know. Is it all of his clothes? I thought it was just his shirt.
Well, now, keep in mind, you've got your pants around your ankles.
Yeah, well. So you take off. You're just sitting there. And
if you take off your shirt,
you're virtually naked from the ankles up.
You're nude.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure I heard Johnny talking about that.
Taking a big number two.
He has to always have his shirt off, clean off, if he's going to...
Even here at work?
Yeah. I think he goes into the stall and he takes his shirt off. I'm pretty sure.
Amazing.
Johnny, that's right, that you take your shirt off when you dump a roux?
Absolutely.
All right.
Why?
Why? Be done.
Why?
Well, the shirt just gets in the way.
So you actually completely... remove your shirt and put it on a hanger. Really?
Yeah.
So you're virtually naked because your pants are around your ankles.
Yeah, pretty much. About 95% naked.
And you can't function unless you have your shirt off.
No, shirt has to be off.
Right.
And you do that here?
Anyway.
Do it here? Do it at home? I try to discourage taking dumps here.
Okay.
Try to do it at home as often as possible.
Thank you.
Because I have had people try to take my shirt once I hang it on the hook.
Right.
Because they know my weird queer tendency. Like Jimmy Mack and all the hurt things here.
All right, got you, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
It's a weird quirk of mine.
Wanted to make sure I had that right.
Gotcha.
There you go.
I'm undefeated, you know, Johnny. 10-0.
He said it murders him.
10-0. Fantasy. Killing him. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Ford recalling about 430,000 Mustangs because of a parking brake problem. They're going to, I tell you, if Ford loses the Mustang people, Ford loses everybody. That's going to really... There it goes.
Fix or repair daily.
Right. Ford.
Thank you, everybody. I used that one in high school.